This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Big Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. Hope you had a lovely weekend. Hope you were drafted somewhere. Hope you got a win if you're in the CFL. Some upsets there. Lots to get to, as there always is on a Monday. Lance Stroll doing well. Canadian driver. It's Grand Prix. Highest finish. Jordan Spieth. I don't care if I shot a 120. If I could do that out of the sand trap, I'd take that. That'd make my round. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki with you. Gentlemen, how are we today? How was the weekend?
Not too bad. Not a bad weekend. Got out a little bit. Popped by budget rent car. Thanks so much to the kind folks at McPhillips, and had a little bit of fun on Saturday. How about the rain, though? Like, enough of the rain and stuff, huh? And a bunch more in store this week. We're due here for a couple of weeks of fantastic weather, but by and large, a decent weekend.
Rained a lot, you're right.
Yeah, I was at the X yesterday too, and it even rained a bit there. I haven't been on like carnival rides in years. And the only thing that kept my guts from spilling out all over the Red River exhibition floor was just an obscene amount of pride. Mm-hmm. and embarrassment. I'm still sick today. I don't know what happened. I used to be good at this stuff, but I can't handle it anymore.
Not this week, but last week, I was at Glendale on Friday, and our home course for the big show here on TSN 1290, and could hear the X loud and clear at like 2 in the afternoon. And there's that car dealership beside, and some of the guys at said dealership, I won't say which one, because they were outside in the back doing the jig to the music that was going. They were getting down.
That's a long ways away.
That's what we said. We're like, where's this music coming from?
Well, I guess
from?
It's not that far, maybe.
And the cart girl said, I was just surprised it was that loud and that
loud,
clear
yeah.
at like 2:30 in the afternoon.
Huh.
Clear as day at the
X. You didn't send any orbs into the said dealership area, a la someone else this room might have in the past, right?
I did might have mentioned, what are you guys looking at? It happens. I might have said that once or twice, but that's about it. And I did it that one hole right there, the par three, say, give me another ball twice. So, they must have enjoyed that. And the music from the X. Lots to get to, of course. We're going to hear from Paul Maurice. He joined TSN 1290 live in Chicago at the draft. And by the way, great work by Hustler, Paul Edmonds, and Ezra Ginsberg, Ezzy, down covering the draft all weekend long. I wasn't going to watch the entire draft, gentlemen. I did Friday night. And then Saturday, I'm like, I'll watch a round or two and tweet out who the Jets take. And I ended up watching the whole thing just because of the rain and everything else. I'm like, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And then before I knew it, I think Randy Turner from the Free Press around round five sent out a tweet that said, if you're still watching the draft, you need to get a life. And I just was like, Randy, I'm watching the draft.
You join the hordes who draft out who the Jets pick?
Yeah.
So people get their 20 tweets on who the Jets picked?
Yeah, I didn't do that. I just tweeted who they picked. Oh. Like, this guy's 6'4". This guy's a goalie. That's it. So I didn't delve too much into it. It was one of those drafts where to be honest with you, once we got past the third round, I didn't know a whole bunch of the names being called. But then there was an odd one sticking out. I believe 8 Manitobans were taken, and the highest one was Cody Glass, 6, by the Las Vegas Knights. Man, I really liked what the Knights did in their draft, but we'll get to that a little later. Your thoughts on what the Winnipeg Jets did with this 2017 NHL entry draft?
I don't know these guys. I'm like Paul Maurice here. Who's seen these guys? Let the man or woman who's seen many of these players play step up and say something about them. Reading great things about Veselainen, so it'll be interesting to see if he's able to, you know, hearing a bit of a knock that he's one of the guys. He's got all kinds of skill, great hockey IQ, but maybe doesn't bring it night in, night out. You wonder. I remember upon the arrival of Joel Armia, that was a knock after the trade from Buffalo too, that he was a guy that maybe didn't always bring it, but he's locked into that. So hopefully with Buddy Patrick Laine, fellow countryman, all the rest of it, that they can lock into that sort of part of his game. And just big guy, skates well, nice mitts from everything that I've read. So let's hope that that turns out, and everybody else is an absolute unknown to me.
Vesalainen didn't bring it to the interview. He looked upset to be going 24th. And I had some tweets about
– he was ranked as high ninth at one point, I saw.
I heard 10th was the highest, yeah. So there was some discussion about that. And I didn't take it as if he was upset being drafted by the Jets. I took it he didn't look very happy he was drafted 24th.
Good. that's a good thing for the Jets. And what I liked about the pick, and like Troy said, like how many of us have seen the kid play other than maybe a couple of highlight packages on YouTube or TSN or whatever. But I like that they went forward there, to be honest with you, because that's, you know, you're going pure best player available at that point. And they felt like he was the top guy on their board. And I could appreciate that they had the confidence to just, you know, avoid just drafting for need, because I feel like that's when you get into the biggest trouble when you make draft picks and guys that usually don't end up panning out for you. But I like that pick. I like that pick, but I didn't like a whole lot of the draft from the Jets side of things. And it had nothing to do with who they selected, to be honest.
Well, things got busy on Friday with trades. Is that what you're referencing to? Well, there's a ton of them. We'll get into all of them. But basically, Chicago, Columbus, New York Rangers, and Arizona. Arizona, very active. We talked about it Friday morning. Corey Weirsey on Twitter follows us, listens to us, said, maybe Arizona heard you. I got that at noon, because by the time noon rolled around, they had looked like a number one center and a goalie and everything else that we listed off they didn't have. What were your thoughts on the overall draft and what transpired around other teams? Like, who, before we get into the trade specifically, who do you think did some good for their team, whether it was through the draft or with some trades?
Well, you have to. Who has to win that certainly would be the Arizona Coyotes, right? From what they look like at the end of the week, and then the aggression and what they end up picking up is like to. I think you have to give that to Arizona. The whole Chicago Panarin Saad thing was an interesting little swap for sure. And then maybe my favorite was the whole Ryan Reeves thing, the way it shakes down. You guys see his avatar now on Twitter? A penguin with a sheriff's badge on, holding a couple of guns. Like, and the whole, like, to me, the whole blown up thing about Reeves going for a first pick, like, it's 31st overall. You know, Reeves and a 51st overall for Sundquist and a 31st overall. So it's not like Reeves went for a first overall pick, period, but the way it was sort of portrayed and people up in arms and stuff. But yeah, those two moves. Of course, Hamonic was a real interesting and aggressive move by Calgary, who's keeping pace with Edmonton. Guys, I can smell this a mile away, and I've been talking about it for a number of months, but this whole arms race is going on in Alberta, and just exactly where the Oilers are right now. This is so tragically setting up to the Oilers and the Jets back in 1.0, where the Oilers have the best player on the planet, and they're just going to be a little bit better than the Jets, and you're going to see the Battle of Alberta's back in full go. Like, this is just like Groundhog Day, I think, in a lot of ways from a couple of decades ago.
2017's the new 1987 is basically what we're seeing happen right now. I mean, you heard some of the asking for Travis Hamonic, and I was just blown. Like, two first round, like, Calgary didn't end up having to pay that, but I mean, Toronto apparently offered JVR in a 2018 first round pick, which is just crazy. Like it just.
Are you kidding me?
Hamonic's a good player and everything, but I was just.
I guess JVR is 1 year left in his contract.
But
so.
Yeah, I mean, I still think the biggest head scratcher was the TJ Oshie deal. I mean, my lord,
gee whiz!
Like, can you sign a guy to a contract more suited to a compliance buyout? Like that?
No,
like,
kidding.
Did they sign that deal with that specifically in mind? I 8 years. I was like, hey, 8 years, and me and my buddies were talking about it as it kind of came down. We're like, 8 years. Well, if they got it to eight, maybe it was like 4.5 or 5. Like, maybe they kept it down. But my lord, like, to
dude,
for that much
31
money,
in
that
December
long.
Too, man.
And it's the classic case of a guy. He scored 33 goals last year. Crazy high shooting percentage.
Well, and along those lines, I was taking some tweets from Brooks out in Brandon. He may call in today. I hope he does. Not happy with Jets management. Doesn't feel like they've done anything over the years. And I was just sitting there, like, again, looking at this Mark Scheifele contract and thinking about the TJ Oshie contract. And that's another facet of management that, I mean, we'll get into that. We'll hear from Chevy as well. Results are what they are. It is pro sports. But just when I see contracts like that and I look at the way they're set up to sort of kind of keep who they got and re-sign or who they've re-signed over the years. And then the Mark Scheifele deal, again, is already paying dividends. It's already a deal. But TJ Oshie with that. Getting to the trades, gentlemen, are you surprised Antti Raanta got traded?
Yes, very surprised.
And what about the price?
Well, the price, I don't know, the price, for instance.
Like Derek Stepan was thrown in there. His contract is what it is. They were looking to unload it. But it's a first-round pick and defenseman Anthony DeAngelo for mm-hmm. Derek Stepan and goalie Antti Raanta.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that just because of the age of Lundqvist. And then, so far as I understand, I don't know, not sure that the Rangers have anything special up and coming. I was very taken aback by that. So there's another bit of a shocker. And we touched on what Arizona accomplished in the trade game here after the bit of a gong show of a week that they had, or at least many interpreted it in that way. But nice recovery, and I'm really excited to see Antti Raanta in a number one spot in Arizona and expect him to flourish.
Yeah, and Arizona all of a sudden goes from, you know, going into the draft as a team, you know, probably looking at a top five pick again next year to, well, maybe they could make a little bit of noise next year. Like, it's just ridiculous how all these teams continue to get better and better and continue to make moves. And that kind of led me to the disappointing part of the week. It was just that, once again, the Jets, I mean, I'm assuming it's not for a lack of trying, but it doesn't really matter if you don't make any deals. It doesn't matter if you tried or if you didn't try. You didn't make any deals. And, again, we're left looking at the same roster the team had mm-hmm. at the end of last year going into this year.
And we'll get into that as well, as I know a lot of fans was hoping that something would be taking place. Travis Hamonic and a conditional fourth-round pick to the New York Islanders. This is a big show, by the way, on TSN 1290 and 16 minutes past the opening hour. And in return gets a 2018 first-round pick, 2018 second-round pick, and a conditional second-round pick. So two second-round picks and a first-rounder for Travis Hamonic and a fourth-rounder. Asking price was two first-rounders, and I tweeted out that is a high price. But if you're a playoff team and you got a 35-year-old goalie you just traded for, I think you overpay to shore up what you have. And some people were texting me, tweeting me, why is that overpaying? And I thought, well, I look at Travis Hamonic as Tyler Myers. And you think Tyler Myers would garner, you know, three picks in the first two rounds, including one overall? Like, I don't know. I don't know what the price would be for that. I just think that when you look at Josh Morrissey and Jacob Trouba, first-round defenseman picks that are already higher pairings than Travis Hamonic is and was, I just think that's a high, high price. However, they probably have one of the top three D-cores in the National Hockey League right now.
Yeah, so that's the whole – that the last sentence there is maybe the most important, right? At some point down the line, you're going to pay the price. But here where you are keeping up, and I touched on it, here, when you're trying to keep up with what's going on north of you in Edmonton, you're maybe somewhat being forced into some of these situations. That real interesting defensive core now in Calgary, and especially with the bolstering effect of Mike Smith, it's going to be fascinating to see what they're able to accomplish in Calgary.
Well, lots more to get to here on the big show. We'll continue to delve into these trades. We'll continue to delve into the draft. We'll get your reactions to it at 9 a.m. on the Boss Pizza fan line. Paul Maurice, we're going to hear from him at 6:30 today. And, of course, at 7 a.m., Kevin Cheveldayoff. Lots more to come on the big show on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is excited to support Canada 150 at the Fork Saturday, July 1st. Visitors will experience tons of free family-friendly programming at five stages around the Forks. Experience a powwow and Indigenous storytelling at the Odina Celebration Center. And, of course, a stunning fireworks spectacle to cap things off at 11 p.m. For the full, complete lineup of over 50 acts and more, visit theforks.com or tsn1290.ca. It will be spectacular as well. Canada Day this Saturday means NHL free agency gets underway as well. Very, very interesting times. around the National Hockey League, busy, and around the Winnipeg Jets. Also today, gentlemen, is the Hockey Hall of Fame announcement, which TSN will carry onto TSN 1, 3, 4, and 5 on TV live at 2 p.m. Eastern. Of course, lots to come on the warm-up with Hustler and the afternoon ride with Huss as well, delving into those. But, of course, at the forefront of this is Mr. Teemu Selänne this year. Should be announced that he's going into the Hockey Hall of Fame today. Exciting times around that. And, of course, for Jets fans.
No-brainer. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a great celebration.
Is there any doubt that he would go?
Hell no.
Who else would you like to see go in? Paul Kariya is eligible. Mark Reichke. Reichke is still available. He's 12th in NHL scoring, Mark. Reichke is. Reichke.
It's good to see him going in.
Well, it has to be announced.
All right,
he's been around
fair.
For a while. But
yeah.
That's the big
that's
question.
That's been a huge debate, right? Like, yeah. He's been a debate for a while. I'd love to see him going in for sure. But it's always totally up in there. We sure would think that Selänne would be in a one-way ticket.
Yeah, Solani's a no-brainer. Don't have to think about that. And then the other kind of for me, Paul Kariya, I would have no problem with Kariya going in. Just the absolute shame that you have the Suter cross-check and just kind of the concussion injuries that derailed him. But, what about a guy like Daniel Alfredsson?
Yeah.
1,150 points in 1,246 games. That's a name that I don't know if he's a first-year guy. This is his first year of eligibility, but yeah, I can see him getting in. And I think with Mark Recchi, too, it's probably time. Like, he's waited long enough. For my Hall of Fame standards, I'd be a lot more strict than what the NHL kind of does currently, where a lot of these guys get in. But, the amount of points that he has, I think
games,
eventually
right?
He
You're
has
talking,
to get
like,
in,
for
yeah.
Pete's sake, 1,652 games and 1,533 points. That's a lot, man.
12th all-time in scoring is ridiculous to not be in the Hockey Hall of Fame, I would think, by now. But Teemu Selänne is expected to be announced today. And if you want to watch it, TSN has it once again on TV. It'll be 2 Eastern is the official call for that. And it'll be TSN 1, 2, 4, and 5 if you want to catch that announcement, which we all expect Teemu Selänne will be announced to be going in. Mark Scheifele says he's going to join us today at 9:30.
He will, yeah. He had a great weekend. He had his hockey camp this weekend, and he has his golf tournament today for kids' sport. A bunch of great people involved. A bunch of his buddies are out with it as well. So he's going to be calling us, I believe, as he's heading to or from the gym. I tell you what, man, seeing him, dude's getting pretty stout. You know, when guys and gals, when they really start to put on some good muscle and that whole neck shoulder trap thing forms, and that's the sign of some serious body strength sort of thing. So it's almost like the bottom of his neck comes out a little bit. The traps are up and shoulders. Like, he's looking pretty beefy right now. And I spoke to him real briefly on Friday Night Boys. I said, man, we're talking about how difficult his schedule is just as an NHL player. And then in general, he's talking to me about his schedule. And he, during the course of that, like with the World Cup and the NHL and I was trying to talk about playing, like, peaking every second day pretty much when you're playing. And, like, the man's diet is beyond ridiculous. One of his good buddies was there and talking about how, like, when they go out with Mark, he's bringing his own food everywhere. Like, that's the level that he's operating at on a daily basis. And Scheifele said that, man, if he's off the ice for a week, he says he feels lost. Like, he said, I don't mind the people call the grind. I love it. Like, it's where I want to be. So he's just, like, salivating already to get back on the ice and get back to it. It's pretty cool stuff. Compared to the Zach Bogosian, I don't even watch hockey. I don't care about hockey. I don't want to talk about hockey. Like, the different mentalities that exist, that's the guy you want, isn't it, to be the face of your franchise going forward? Holy cow.
I would think so. You ever seen a neck like that? Ripped?
I've seen many muscular necks. I haven't seen Scheif, so good for him.
That's just when that the dudes are strong. Like, there's a strength to that where you just go, okay, that cat's serious about training right there. You can just see it in that lower part of the neck.
And it's the development, right? Because he's the first prospect that the Jets ever had. And everybody knows the history of him on ice, at least, right? Like, not for lack of effort, but the Bambi legs. getting pushed around, knocked around. I'm like, I don't know. Is he going to be a, is this kid going to be strong enough? Is he going to, is he going to find a way to kind of, you know, once he gets older, battle and be able to hang out there on the ice? And now it's, I mean, it's night and day. And you saw him at the World Championships when I think he hit that Danish winger and probably still hasn't up off the ice.
I've told this story before, but this has to be now three off seasons ago. But the Jets came back once and we were interviewing him maybe 2 weeks in, and we were asking him how his summer was and stuff. And then I said, seriously, how was your summer? Like, I saw you on at the Jays game a couple times with Marner or whoever he hangs out with, having grown up in Ontario. And he's like, oh, good. He goes, I just trained hard and stuff like that. I go, so what do you do? Like, do you go to a cabin? He goes, no, I go to the Jays games. I work out. I go to the odd lake or stuff like this. And I go, you have a cold one and stuff? And he's like, oh, no. I go, so, like, off the record, between you and I, you don't have one cold one when you're at the lake with the boys? And he said, oh, no. He said, Gary has me on this water from Italy. I don't know what it is, but that's the only thing. So we bring that in from Italy, and that's the only thing I drink. I take it everywhere with me. And I'm like, wait a minute. So you don't not only have a cold one. At your age, like, let's be honest, you don't even have a cold one here and there at the lake or drink some Canadian water. He goes, well, no, that's part of the program, and I'm all in, so. Mm-hmm.
He is all
and it
in,
was
man.
Just casual, like it was second nature, not like it was, man, it's hard when you're at the lake or whatever. Like he was,
his eyes twinkle and he almost starts salivating when he's talking about it. And hey guys, like we were talking about approach in the locker room, and I couldn't help but think that when I was driving home from that event, like how wildly different the approach is of Mark Scheifele and the road he's traveled, how he's ascended, where he's at right now, and whatever his future holds for completely reaching and tapping into his potential. And then compare that to a guy like Dustin Byfuglien in the room, who is still trying to achieve his potential and all the rest of that sort of stuff at 31 years old. I find the approach to mastering your craft very interesting. Or when athletes don't try and master their craft and just sort of get by on their remarkable God-given skill.
Well, Mark Scheifele, join us at 9:30. We got a break, but when we come back, we'll hear from Paul Maurice on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Pick up your official TSN 1290 discount golf card today. Hit the greens throughout the summer with great two-for-one deals at a multitude of Manitoba golf courses, including Selkirk Golf and Country Club, Larder's at St. Andrews Golf and Country Club, the Winkler Centennial Golf Course, Kingswood Golf and Country Club, the Steinbeck Flying Golf Club, and Bell Acres Golf and Country Club, just to name a few. Book a tee time and show your card for great rates. Cards are only $34.95 each. Some restrictions apply. To purchase your card and for a complete list of participating courses, visit tsn1290.ca. Jim, Troy, and Brandon on The Big Show, TSN 1290. 34 minutes past the hour. At the top of the next hour, we'll hear from Kevin Cheveldayoff on the draft. But right now, Paul Maurice joined Paul Edmonds on the draft floor Saturday in Chicago after about three picks for the Winnipeg Jets. Here's the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, Paul Maurice, with our very own Paul Edmonds.
Well, Paul, great to see you again. And I guess just generically, what's the summer been like for you so far? A lot of time at the rink still?
Yeah, summer doesn't hit really till July, August in the line of work. We do a pretty in-depth review of the season from a video and analytics point of view. And then it's just when the playoffs are on, it's hard not to go to the rink every day. It's just a routine that you get into. So we'll go through the playoffs like everybody else. Development camp next week, free agency. Usually the last week or so of July and the first week of August is pretty quiet in the National Hockey League. And our home is Winnipeg. My kids, I got three kids that got summer jobs. We're not leaving them with the house. So I went to see my mom for a couple of days for Mother's Day. Other than that, I've been in Winnipeg the entire time.
Hey, let's just go back a few weeks ago. What did you think of the Stanley Cup final, especially from Nashville, a team that you see a lot, and then the ability for Pittsburgh to repeat as champions again?
Especially, so it's what's interesting for me is I've got two what I consider very close friends in that fight, so it's a tough Jim Rutherford, the GM of Pittsburgh, and his comments about the injuries that they had and what they had to go through, were willing to go through. And maybe it's true, maybe it stretches not the best hockey of the year for them, but finding that way to win. And then Kevin McCarthy, who I coach, was there a long time as assistant coach in Nashville. We play fairly similar styles of game. Our neutral zones, a lot of the system stuff between Cato and Peter Laviolette and I, we've crossed paths a bunch of times and swapped out systems and stole things from each other. I don't think that we're far off that game. You know, we had a back end that's pretty mobile. I thought in terms of on a minute basis of quality hockey, Nashville was the better team, except it doesn't matter the minutes. Pittsburgh in the end can find that way, and that was that veteran experience that they had.
Thought on signing Ben Sherratt to a two-year extension today.
Well, I'm happy for Ben. You know, I think you're going to see more of this model kind of coming in. He spent some time in the minors. You come in and get your chance on injury, and we remember that. Benny had a tough year last year with injuries, and it set him back. And we're expecting a healthy, strong, confident Ben Sherratt. And also, I'll put him in the class of Lowry and Scheifele and Trouba in terms of age. They've got enough time in now, they're men. So I won't be describing them as young players anymore. So we're looking for that step forward in consistency from them.
Expansion draft, your team, your organization virtually came away unscathed.
You know, and we owe Toby Enstrom a big debt of thank you for that, because he really kept us from losing a player, either a top six or a top nine forward, that we have very difficult time, as most teams do, replacing. So instead of losing a piece, but not only that, then the deal that Kevin makes means that we don't lose anybody at all. And that is far better than a lot of teams fared.
Where's the expectation this year? The fans, I think, have a greater one, but I also get a sense that the organization does as well.
Well, for me, I knew we were going to be paying a price here the last 2 years, but it was, like I say, it was a process that we had to go through. I'm looking for forward motion now. You know, we tread water for the last 2 years, trying to survive a little bit. Some of it, you know, we lost some key people that hurt us at times. You're hoping for a bit of health, but beyond that now, we're going to move four or five guys from being young players to being players. And we had 11 and 12 young players on our team last year, and I thought that cost us at times. You want a payoff for that development, and I expect that we're going to get that payoff.
Paul, you're going to enter your fifth year as the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, your fifth season. Is it hard to believe it's gone that quick?
It's absolutely shocking. I truly feel like I just got here, and I think it's because it's been exciting here. They draft well here in Winnipeg. We have good young players coming in. So each year, when you think of the last 2 years, we'll go back 3 years ago, it's my first year with the team. The next two, when you're putting four new players, rookies, on your team, it's kind of a learning curve that keeps you wired in. You certainly don't come to training camp thinking you know everything. You've got a lot to learn about your hockey team. We love it here. You know, it's the number of people that I've talked to here this weekend that I know that ask me about the kids, ask me about my family. Say that it's a scripted speech now, and it's true. You know, Winnipeg's been just fantastic for me and my whole crew.
All the head coaches of the National Hockey League teams are here on the draft floor. What generally is the function of a head coach at the draft?
You know what? If anything, there are times, there's actually a lot of activity that never comes to light, right? Trades that just don't quite happen because they're put in the pressure cooker and they've got to make a decision on players within 5 minutes. Sometimes these things, you've seen it take months and months and months. So it's a very intense 5 minutes. You've got to try to remember or draw upon any experiences you've had with the players. So you offer that, and then after that, you shake an awful lot of hands. So there's the truth is, I won't have seen any of these kids play. If they didn't play at Christmas time in the World Junior Tournament, where I'm watching it on TV, I've never seen any of them play. So there's nothing to offer at that point. You do try to build through the draft. You have your needs as a hockey team, but you're not reaching five or six picks past the best player available. So you give your opinion on what your hockey team needs. If something comes up, you fill in the spaces on some players. Other than that, you don't do a darn thing.
looking forward to seeing Christian, Dylan, and Jonathan all at D-Camp coming up on Monday. And I guess, because it starts at the Iceplex for you guys. And the other part of this is, generically and overall, I guess you can make a blanket statement, all three kids that you've drafted so far, big bodies.
Again, I haven't seen them play, but I can see, I can tell you that they are, right? And so the running line is they're big and they move, which is the size, a big durable body, clearly, like the old saying goes, when a good big man meets a good little man, the good little man bleeds. Big men, certainly more durable. But you have to be able to skate now. You just can't get by in this game of being slow-footed. So we like that speed. We like that size. We're going to rework how we do our development camp this year. The NHL coaches are going to spend some time on the ice, too. We don't get enough time with these kids in training camp. We got 50 guys. We want to make sure that they get some. We get a little bit of a feel for their personality. It won't be overly exciting, maybe for the fans, because we're not going to run them up and down the ice. We want to get a jump start on some of the small things in the NHL that these kids don't deal with in amateur hockey. And you take a look at Josh Morris, he's a prime example. There were things in Josh's game that kept him out of the NHL, and it wasn't his size and it wasn't his intelligence. And that's true of Kyle Connor too. He's one of the best skaters. He's in the top 10% very probably in the NHL now. But there are parts of his game that make it difficult to play. So we want to take those parts for a defenseman going back to get the puck, where to put it, how fast you got to move, where you look first, some really small details, you know, that when you got a great big, when Blake Wheeler's bearing down on you as a defenseman, you got to know where that puck's going because you don't have time to think. He's on you. It's true for the forwards. We're going to spend some time working on those things in more of a structured kind of teaching environment.
Finally, Paul, at first blush, do you like your schedule this year compared to last year?
Well, that one's easy, Paul. Yeah, our schedule relative to last year's schedule is considerably better. Everybody in the league has their tough stretches, and that's true for us this year, and it was true for last year. But we jammed two of the toughest stretches together and played them for 2 months last year, and we just never recovered from it. I've gone through it very closely this year. It is considerably better. Back-to-backs are way down. We've got a month, the half of November into December, and again, our finishing month is very difficult. But everybody's going to have that, so you can live with it.
Head coach Paul Maurice of the Winnipeg Jets joining Paul Edmonds on the draft floor in Chicago on Saturday on TSN 1290. This is The Big Show with Jim, Troy, and Brandon. What do you make from that? It sounds to me, and this is just my interpretation, a lot of the, whether you take them as excuses or not, the schedule, the injuries, the development, the youth, sounds to me like that's sort of on the back burner now. Like there's a lot of, reading between the lines there, there's a lot of pressure on them this year, and they know that.
Yeah, I agree. He sounds like he's, you know, he's putting it all on the table there pretty good, saying that those things that we struggled with last year, the youth, all the rest of it, that some other teams didn't struggle, right? We saw some teams with immense youth that were able to flourish. Hello, Toronto and Columbus. But he's definitely pushing those aside and seems to be of the same mindset that we have discussed about here, where a lot of Jets Nation is at, where this is the year. It's upon us right here. You got a couple of moves to make and then go forward, and it's time to start kicking some butt. No more excuses. I got to love it.
I'm very intrigued going into the season, and you know, assuming the Jets have a relatively the same amount of roster or the same players on the roster going into next year, you know, he was given a lot of rope to a lot of the young kids. Right, like we saw Laine, he wasn't afraid to throw out there after a mistake. Ehlers very rarely got benched as well. Like you wonder what the leash is next year, and how aggressive and how, I don't know if harsh is necessarily the right word, but maybe unforgiving he'll be when one of the younger-ish guys make a mistake.
Or how about the older guys?
Fair.
Right? Because yeah. I think number 33 was making early on anyway, yeah, in the first half, where it was making as many or more sort of and setting the tone for things like that. That whole dichotomy, that whole relationship this year is going to be very interesting.
I thought, and was on record saying this, that if there was an extension coming for Paul Maurice, it would be announced at the draft. And no announcement came, of course. He's been on record saying he's fine with not having an extension, or if he has one, he's fine. Either way, what Kevin Cheveldayoff wants to do. I'm wondering maybe if it'll be this week during the development camp, which starts today out at Bell MTS Iceplex. And if not, it could be training camp. And if not, there might not be one coming. Do you think he has an extension coming?
I have no clue. And to me, it doesn't matter much. I would expect whether he's got the extension or not. That whole lame duck thing, I think, is a bunch of malarkey. And my expectations for what the Jets accomplish has nothing to do with whether or not he has an extension.
No, I don't think one's coming. And I think it's the right move. Like, you need to see improvement at the start of the season. And it has to be really quick, because it's been 2 years in a row now with one of the worst special teams units in the NHL and continued defensive zone lapses and discipline problems. Like, that's a lot of the game right there that you're not showing much sign of improvement in. And so I think that the first month of the season, if you don't say, and it doesn't even have to be perfect, to be honest with you, but just special teams, middle of the pack, and a little bit more awareness inside your own end, and okay, maybe we have a little bit of something here.
The thing I don't get, though, is why Jets fans care. It's not our money. It's not on the salary cap. How does it affect us?
Yeah, I'm on board with you. I don't get the lame duck thing. I really don't. But I understand that's how it works, and so I'm fine with it. I'm indifferent to it. Because in the end, if you play 25 to 40 games next year and they have 7 wins, I think he's getting gas, whether he has an extension or not. And I think that if he has 30 wins in the first 45 games, I think he's getting an extension. Like, I'm with you. It's not the fans' money. It's not. Now, I understand if some fans want a new coach, because it's been this long and not very much success on the ice and all this stuff. Whether he gets an extension or not, that I don't understand the fever around that either. But it is interesting, because I do know historically, like, even Claude Noel got an extension, and it was at the draft when he needed an extension, and then that year he was fired. So,
yeah, I just feel like, to me, if going into that year and you say, like, usually you give an extension to a guy you want to lock up for multiple years, not can 20 games into the contract. You know what I mean? Like, if that's kind of your thought process of, well, if he doesn't get this team off to a right start early on, we're going to fire him, then why would you give that extension out? Why wouldn't you just let it play out at that point?
See, and to me, it relies a lot on, like, we touched on how much, you know, he didn't bench the vets or the young guys. He didn't do a lot of things that allowed for growth and development. That tells me that management believes in Paul Maurice, mm-hmm. and wants him to see this through. But I also think that this is a lot on the players. Like, they have to respond here. Like, if those things that, like, Nick Ehlers said that one time, that, like, he keeps putting me out there when I keep making mistakes and I want to pay him back for that and all that, you have to pay him back this year. Like, you have to be better. You have to get some wins here and be better defensively and on the power play and on the penalty kill and all these things, because your coach has done this stuff for you. If you believe that, it doesn't matter whether he has an extension or not. It doesn't matter if management believes in Paul Maurice or not. The results have to be what the results are. And if they're not there, even though the players like him, even though everybody's bought in, even though management likes him, if the results aren't there, it's not going to go well.
Yeah, so I don't know what your point is there.
Well, I'm just saying, like, a lot of it's on the players here. Like, a lot of them.
It always is, right?
I believe so, yeah.
But that's not where the axe falls.
No.
And certainly not when all the contracts are guaranteed, right? Like, they've made their bed in from a personnel standpoint, whatever it is that they decide on and commit to coming into the season, as much as it's on the players to pull their end of the bargain. We all know where the axe falls.
Love to get your thoughts on Paul Maurice's comments at 9 on the Boss Pizza Fan Line. Up next, we'll talk some baseball and some other sports, and we'll hear from Kevin Cheveldayoff at 7 o'clock this morning on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
TSN1290 is proud to support the 5th and final HSC Foundation Celebrity Human Race. It's your chance to race around Winnipeg, competing in challenges and puzzles with your team's celebrities, September 22nd and 23rd. The money raised allows the HSC Foundation to improve care for Manitoba families with research initiatives, cutting-edge medical equipment, state-of-the-art facilities. To learn more or to register, visit TSN1290.ca. A couple things to get to this segment, gentlemen. First and foremost, Jordan Spieth wins his 10th tournament at a very young age, 23 years, 10 months. I believe Tiger did it in 23 years, 6 months. But what a shot out of the sand trap to sink that. So we'll acknowledge that. I'm just worried about time here, guys. Lance Stroll finishes third in the Grand Prix at Azerbaijan, which is his highest polling. We'll touch on that if we have time in the segment too. But I really want to spend some time on the Toronto Blue Jays. Avoid a sweep yesterday in Kansas City, but on Friday, Roberto Osuna, their closer, who is now the youngest closer to reach 75 saves, says he wasn't feeling well and had nothing to do physically or the fact of when he's pitching on the mound, he's fine. He said, I have anxiety. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure understanding why I feel this way. I'm just not myself right now, and didn't play until yesterday when he did get into the game and pitched well. They didn't need him for a save, though. But just let's touch on the fact that a young athlete of his age at coming forward, admitting that, you know, mentally he's just not himself, and being open and honest about it, and also removing himself from playing, which is a stressful situation.
Actually, he said that the only time he feels like he doesn't feel it when he's on the mound, that's when he feels okay. It's just away in his normal life. This is something you just would not have heard an athlete say 20 years ago. Maybe 10 years ago. No way. You'd never hear this. And so I think this is it's fantastic. There's bravery involved here in him coming out and discussing this publicly. We also live in a world now where this is supported. And of course we have Bell Let's Talk, and we discuss this, spend a fair amount of time in bringing light to this. And it's, I suppose here it's kind of refreshing that he feels comfortable enough, and the world we live in is inviting enough for him to feel that comfort to come out and express this with people. It's very intriguing, and especially that distinction he made when he was asked by the media for him to say no, like it has nothing to do with baseball, because this one individual seemed miffed and confused by it a little bit, asking, well, you've been so successful, why do you feel this way? And he's saying, no, this has nothing to do with baseball. That's where I feel really good when I'm on the mound. It's away from the game in my own private life. So it's a fascinating thing, and let's hope that this young man, he's setting a great example, fantastic example, to come out and talk about the challenges and issues at hand here. And let's hope that he gets back to a place of wellness sometime soon.
Well, and athletes always kind of have a shield of invincibility around them, an aura of, I can't be touched. And to see him kind of admit that, and not be afraid to, and especially, locker rooms are a very delicate thing, and sometimes admitting whether it's an illness or an injury or whatever can be kind of seen as a sign of weakness. It's nice that Osuna feels comfortable enough inside that locker room and inside the dynamics of everything that he's able to come out and admit this and get some help. So good for him.
Yeah, and it reminded me of Joey Votto when his dad passed away, and he sort of said, I've had some depression and I need to take a break. And I think it's obviously never good when an athlete has this, or anybody in life, but it's also good that I think that the awareness is there that it's okay to acknowledge it and come forward and do some things about it. So the Blue Jays avoid a sweep in Kansas City with a win yesterday. And their season, that's a whole different story for sure. We'll get into that later as well. Kevin Cheveldayoff on the National Hockey League draft and the picks that the Winnipeg Jets made. That's next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
You want to leave your back gate unlocked this summer because TSN's coming over on select evenings throughout the summer. TSN 1290 will back up the truck with a portable party for up to 25 people, including catering by Qdoba Mexican Eats, including a burrito bowl hot bar with tortillas so you can make tacos and an abundance of three cheese queso. Beverages, including a sampling of Tallgrass Vodka, Winnipeg's only grain-to-bottle vodka produced by Capital K Distillery. A family pack of fireworks to light up your night, courtesy of Archangel Fireworks. An iGrill 2 digital app, connected thermometer for each grand prize winner, provided by Lux Barbecue Company. And a hot tub for you to soak in over the course of the week. provided by our friends at Oasis Leisure Center. We'll also have the TSN 1290 crew on site to help serve and set up. Parties will happen Thursday evenings from now until August, including June 29th. That's this Thursday, July 20th and August 10th. Enter online at tsn1290.ca, and we could be seeing you very soon. The big show on TSN 1290 and the Royal Sports Power Hour. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, and Kevin Cheveldayoff joined our draft coverage team of Hustler, Paul Edmonds, and Ezra Ginsberg live on the draft floor in Chicago on Saturday. Here's his conversation post-draft from the general manager of your Winnipeg Jets.
Kevin, great to have you back. It's been quite a week, and it's all over. How do you feel now that the picks are in the books?
Well, again, it's day two is a fast and furious day all the time. The picks come at you very quickly, and it's something that, again, it's an exhilarating day, and sitting there at the table talking to the scouts, when you get some guys that they have passion for as opposed to settling for the next guy on the list, it's something that, you look forward to, and especially in a player like Dylan Sandberg, we're excited to get him. Very character person, someone that, is going to have a little bit of a, development path towards his career here. But, excited to kick it off today with him.
You mentioned Dylan Sandberg, and you had 8 picks in this draft, 7 of them today, 1 yesterday. And defensemen dominate your draft. At least 50% of them were defensemen. 4 defensemen, 2 left wingers, a center, a goalie. You kind of tick all the boxes here for sure. But just talk about, was it by design that you went after 4 defensemen today?
Well, again, with the second round pick there, Dylan, fell nicely into obviously the position standpoint, but we still would have taken a best player approach at that point in time in the draft, but he did fit in nicely there, and some of the other players that we drafted are more a little bit on the development side of things. There's obviously. Different stories with each one of them. Even a player like Virtanen, who's obviously not a defenseman, but missed a lot of the season last year with an injury. So you had to do some projection there based on the past, based on the limited views that you had there. But we feel like that's a good option there. And even the goaltender, these are what you ask your scouts to do, is try and find and unearth some players that they have passion for. That's how we drafted.
One more for me before I send it back to the guys. I know they want to get to Arvid Holm because sure. We can't find a scouting report on him. And maybe we'll ask Mark Hillier about that as well for sure coming up. But Santeri Virtanen, I've kind of relayed the story. His season was basically 2 weeks. Yeah. But when he finally got to play as a healthy Finnish prospect, he ended up playing at the U18 tournament in Slovakia. And apparently a past Christian Vesalainen, he might have been the best player on the ice. How did you see it?
Well, yeah, again, it's one of those things where you get updates throughout the year and you hear about, he's not going to be back, not going to be back, not going to be back. But then you get an opportunity to see him in a tournament like that. And, you temper it and you say, all right, he's going to be out, give him a chance to get back into it because he hasn't played so much. But when he goes and he plays like he, didn't miss a beat type thing, there is that excitement level with him.
Guys,
Kevin, your third pick, Johnny Kovacevic, we talked to him, really excited that he's getting this opportunity, and he was pretty frank that said he hoped to be drafted, but he didn't anticipate going as early as he did. Obviously had a great year his first year in the NCAA. Can you give us a little bit of insight as to what attracted the Winnipeg Jets to this young defenseman that was picked in the third round?
Well, we think he's a late bloomer type of player. He's got good size. He can skate. He moves the puck well. He checks off all the boxes of a type of player, of a defenseman that, we feel, that needs to possess the certain things to play, at the next level. And, he's going to, obviously have a little bit of a development path here being a late bloomer. But, he's someone that, we interviewed at the draft here. We knew that he was going to be someone that, was kind of a mystery kind of position on where we should try to, slot him in the draft. But ironically, right before him, there was a little bit of a run on defense. So we said, we're going to step up and take him, where we did. And, we think he's a good pick, and, time will tell.
Just one more, because I know you do have to go, and we're looking forward to talking to Mark Hillier. Last year, you traded away your seventh pick to have two in the seventh round this year. And, of course, we were talking earlier about the seventh round pick two seasons ago, Sammy Niku, who now has a contract with the Winnipeg Jets. You picked a 42-goal scorer in Skyler McKenzie in his 19th-year-old year, and then Croy Evingson, a massive defenseman from Shreveport. Just what's the philosophy going into the seventh round, a round that doesn't normally produce NHLers, but when you have these picks, do you look at them differently than other rounds to give players opportunities, or is it just a matter of picking the best player available and hoping it turns out through your program?
So there's a story that goes back to, back even, I think, to the Blackhawk days, long before I got there, but Marshall Johnson, I believe, was with the Blackhawks, and they were going around the table in the seventh round or the eighth round back then. I couldn't remember which one it was. And they said, well, who has passion for someone? Who really wants to step out and say, I want this guy? And that guy ended up being Dustin Byfuglien. So you kind of sit back. And in the seventh round last year, we said, look, is there anybody that we have passion for? And the guy said, we're just going to be drafting for the sake of drafting. So, there was an opportunity to move the pick. We had an opportunity to move one of our picks out of the seventh round this year for a pick next year. But, we went around the table and I said, where's the passion here? Who has passion for these players? And, we had some guys that stepped up and said, I'd like to have this guy on our reserve list. So we were comfortable making both of those picks. And, sometimes you try to swing for the fences, with those type of picks. And maybe we have something good with Sammy Niku. That was the kind of philosophy there. With Skyler, you see all the numbers and everything like that, and that's exciting. But at the table, what the guys really talked about was his tenacity and his willingness to compete. And, when you're the size of him, there's lots of guys that have skill and can skate. But it's that compete that's going to try and that might separate you and give you that unique chance to play at that level. And then with Craw Evingson, we think he was someone that really kind of was a hidden type of thing, because when you're playing it in different places like that, you're limited view. A 6'5" defenseman that can skate, that's going to head off to college, there's a good development path there.
Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the Winnipeg Jets, joining Husser and Paul Edmonds on the draft floor Saturday on TSN 1290. Jim, Troy, and Brandon on the Big Show, 12 minutes past the hour. Your thoughts on the evaluation and the assessment Kevin Cheveldayoff and his crew went through on Saturday on how they were picking players and who they picked?
Hope it all works out. I like Paul Maurice, and I would suspect 99.9% of us know very little about the vast majority of these players. And they pick up a bunch of D-men. Some good size involved here. You guys see that? I can't remember who drafted him, but somebody in the draft was 5'8", 154.
The Oilers. Yamamoto.
Gee whiz, 5'8", 154. That's just remarkable.
That's a good player, too.
Yeah, hey.
Really good.
Yeah, get him up to a buffet sometime soon. But this is all kinds of faith here in the Jets scouting department, and we'll see these young fellas advance through the years, no question.
Yeah. Like I have no problem with who is taken by the team, but with the amount of trades that there were at the draft, although there were a lot less than we've seen in years past, but aren't you guys just a little bit disappointed that roster wise still the same as last year? Like, it's
should you wait for the UFAs upcoming and see if something happens then?
I'm not sounding the alarm bells just yet, but this is another part of the offseason that's now gone, and there's nothing there. There's not as much time left now.
It does to me, Wicks, because you look at the defenseman available as a UFA, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense with some of the defensemen to come here. Certainly not a top four left-side guy. So that's starting to look a little bit clear from the organizational standpoint. Maybe there's a depth move to be made there. But the goaltending situation, you knew dang well was going to be solved for the most part via UFA. So let's hope something for sure gets done there. Because nothing has happened up to this point in time, guys, I have to say that a number of times this weekend it's floated into my head, they're going to stay pretty much the same defensively.
Yeah, well, I don't get that. I don't get it, to be honest.
They must feel that Toby can give them what they need in a top four role. And of course, with Sherratt now, it's like there's got to be some depth added still. But as far as that top four left side D guy, they must think Toby's the answer.
Well, then the Jets will be the only team in the NHL, essentially, to have basically the same roster 2 years in a row. And a roster that had major, major problems inside their own end. Like, up front, if you want to stay the same, hey, sure, right? You're getting younger there. You would presumably get better with another kind of year of experience and an off season of training ahead of you. But on the back end, like, don't you have to do? They can't go with the same core that they did at the end of last year. It's been 2 years now of struggle inside their own end.
I see them, like we've talked about for months, potentially in a trade or free agency, adding a top four left-handed D. But other than that, you want to see somebody change? You want to see move? Like, who are you unsatisfied with going into this year?
But if you think a trade's happening with a left-sided top four, left-handed top four D, aren't you concerned that it hasn't already happened?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I'm not along the fever that nothing's changed yet. And I took a ton of things on Twitter, which I'm sure you guys did on the weekend too, of just like every time there was a trade, there was a fever around the Jets still haven't fixed their roster. The Jets still haven't fixed their roster. And I kept replying to these people. If it's September, I would panic. But I don't understand why there's panicking right now. Because there's free agency and there's 2 months of trades to happen. Yeah, I'm not saying there is going to be a trade, but I'm just like, if it's September and this roster is the same, I will heighten the whole awareness of, man, this better work out this year. This team better make the playoffs. But to me, to do it right now, just because other teams are trading, there is that fever there that I don't know. I'm not, there's 2 months plus.
It does seem less likely, though, as each passing week goes by. All these other teams are making their moves and bolstering their roster, and the Jets standing pat. That's why, in my head, I'm starting to work it in my head just in case it does come to fruition to sort of deal with it a little bit better. That top four left side D thing is, I just wonder where they're at with that. I really do.
What do you guys think of the Ben Sherrod deal? 2 years, 2.8, so 1.4 mil a year, and he's back.
I don't mind Ben Sherrod playing a simple game in a 5-6 role. I'm fine and dandy with, and we've seen him. He can go up and you know, fill in when necessary, alongside Buff and all the rest of it. I don't mind Ben Sherrod's game. It's just very important that he keeps it simple.
Yeah, it's a typical Chevy contract, right? The 2 years, just over $1 million for kind of the depth players, and that. That's what I hope Ben Sherrod is next year, is a depth player. If he's your seventh defenseman, I think the Jets are at a pretty good spot. Right now, though, he's playing in their top six.
The only thing I would ask about that, if the Jets are healthy, and if his right side is Myers, that makes him better, right? It's not maybe, like, he's not out there on the right side of Stewie, and he's not out there on the left side of Postma. There should be a little bit of calmness in that bottom pairing, just because if they can stay healthy, because Myers will be there, right?
Yeah, I get what you're like. It's not. Hey, is it the worst case scenario that it's Sherrod Myers third pair next year? No, but why? Like, why do that when you can go out there and improve? Like, that's kind of the whole situation here. Like, the Jets have. Like, what's their excuse for not getting another defenseman there? Even if it's even if you thought you had a lot in Sherrod and you wanted to bring in a guy that could battle with him, but I mean, we've said a number of times, like, the Jets can legitimately go into next season with Myers Enstrom as their third pairing, and if you have an opportunity to do that in a situation where it's basically only 1 year where you get that chance because of the amount of ELCs you have right now. You're doing your team a major disservice to not go out there and make that happen.
If they do that, do you have to assume it's budget restraints?
I
don't think you have to.
You have to start listing the guys that they're trying to trade for. And if it's guys with no trade clauses, then it's a failure to get it done. If it's guys with no trade clauses,
but that's the thing. You can't target guys with trade clauses.
Well, you can. You just have to see if they'll waive them.
Well. You're wasting your time, maybe. Like, but this is Chevy's job, right? He's got to work his way around that.
Yes, that's what I agree with. It'll be very interesting, and we'll get your thoughts on the Boss Pizza fan line at 9 o'clock when we open those. We'll talk more about the draft in the National Hockey League when we come back, and of course, David Pagnotta joining us at the bottom of the hour. NHL news and notes still to come in the Royal Sports Power Hour as well on the Big Show TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
TSN 1290 and Alter Ego Sports and Tim Hortons are proud to present the TSN 1290 Street Team, popping up at Winnipeg's best events all summer long. We'll be at concerts, sporting events, charity events, and more. We'll be bringing our Spin to Win prize wheel to select events and giving you the chance to win great stuff like tickets to Bruno Mars or a Cannondale Quick 8 bicycle from Alter Ego Sports. Here's where you can find us in the next little bit. The University of Winnipeg Westman Golf Tournament this Thursday, June the 29th. Canada 150 at the Forks Saturday, July the 1st, with fireworks at 11 p.m. TSN's Jocks and Jockeys Night at Assiniboia Downs on Wednesday, July 5th, and MTS Super Spike July 21st and 22nd at Maple Grove Rugby Park. For more information on these great events and TSN 1290 Street Team, visit tsn1290.ca. Jim, Troy, and Brandon on the Royal Sports Power Hour on the Big Show, TSN 1290. And gentlemen, Ted Wyman from the Winnipeg Sun was at the draft, watching his great coverage from there as well. And he tweeted out before he left the draft, "For what it's worth, one NHL general manager said this week that he believes the Jets will sign 32-year-old unrestricted free agent Brian Elliott come free agency this Saturday." Now, if it happens Saturday or not, but that's what one general manager told him the Jets will do. Brian Elliott is the goal.
I have heard that name bantied about a little bit, and at the same time of that was in a conversation and was pointed out just how people talk about, you know, the veteran presence beside Hellebuck and the having someone there to be able to bounce things off of, and Brian Elliott's supposed to be fantastic with that sort of stuff. So would make a bunch of sense. You got a guy here who's got some pretty nifty numbers, and even with the disappointment of last year, still could get up to a 9-10 before the struggles of the playoffs. But yeah, Brian Elliott, I think, would be it's the perfect kind of scenario, isn't it? If you have him coming in and he's comfortable with where he's at in life, knowing he's on the back nine to play the complement to Connor Hellebuck, with the possibility if Hellebuck struggles, a guy that can stay in the net for extended periods of time.
Well, to me, it makes sense because it's not going to cost you $4 million a year. And to me, it makes sense because I just don't – like, even when Antti Raanta got traded, a lot of people were like, well, why aren't the Jets doing this? And I think a lot of fans fail to remember that the Jets like Connor Hellebuck. Like, Connor Hellebuck is their Antti Raanta. Connor Hellebuck is their Scott Darling. Like, so when these guys are not coming here and they're upset about it, you have to think the way I believe the Jets are thinking, and they believe in Connor Hellebuck. What they're trying to do is augment something along the lines of getting more wins in the backup role, but also to help a young Connor Hellebuck, and also if need be, to get them in the playoffs and play some playoff time, but not long term. Like, they believe in Connor Hellebuck.
Yeah, signing Brian Elliott would be the biggest kind of sign of trust in Connor Hellebuck the Jets could do, because that's a move made specifically to help out Connor Hellebuck. Whereas a guy like Steve Mason, you know, probably more talented than Brian Elliott, but that would be more of a straight up battle for the starting job, and maybe a little bit of a hesitation to kind of go all in on Connor Hellebuck. So I wonder who'd be better for the team. Like, if Elliott or Mason, like, would you sacrifice, you know, maybe a bit of talent in kind of dropping down to Brian Elliott, or would you go all in on a guy like that, a guy who's, you know, shown over the past couple of years that he can take a team to the playoffs?
He wants to be a starter still. That's maybe the problem with them not attracting him to come here, right?
Yeah, but where is he going to start?
Yeah, he's got to look at the situation and look at, if the Flames got rid of me and brought in a 35-year-old Mike Smith, like, my days of... I think it's more easy to sit there and go, well, this is my role, and if I can win the starting job or get it through poor play, then I will, as opposed to a Mason or, you know, somebody else who's sitting there going, well, I'm still a starting goaltender in my mind, and that's what I want. Where they go, I don't know either. But you would think that Brian Elliott has a little bit of a different – I wonder, because Brian Elliott went to Calgary thinking that I'm going to do this one-year term, and then even at 32, I'm going to get a 3-4-year deal and be their starter. So I wonder where he's at. And we saw some great stuff in Elliot Friedman's 30 points, where he talked to Elliot, and Elliot talked about how disappointing it was that Calgary let him go or is not interested in him anymore. But as he said, that's the job, and I'm kind of used to it.
Just you hope if the Jets do go get him, you just hope that he's in a real solid sort of headspace and that he brings a solid game. It would be a fantastic thing here, man. And don't forget, Jets just average goaltending, right? They can get that somewhere around a 9-15 team mark. That'll do wonders for them to get above that line.
More NHL talk when David Pagnata joins us next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 and United Firefighters of Winnipeg present Caring for Kids. Support the staff and services of the Children's Hospital Foundation of Manitoba today. Text KIDS to 129090. Standard message rates may apply. Every time you do, United Firefighters of Winnipeg will donate $1 to the Children's Hospital, up to $1,000. Your actions can help the Children's Hospital keep caring for kids across Manitoba. Kids like Michaela, who is currently battling cancer. For more on Michaela and Caring for Kids, visit TSN1290.ca. Caring for Kids is presented by United Firefighters of Winnipeg and TSN 1290. Jim, Troy, and Brandon on the Royal Sports Power Hour of The Big Show, TSN 1290, 33 minutes past the hour. So much to cover today in the hockey world and get to, from the draft and the trades, and of course, upcoming free agency. And we like to talk hockey with our good friend David Pagnata of TheFourthPeriod.com. David, how are you?
No, I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks. How has this week been for you, somebody who's covered hockey for a long time, between the expansion draft, the trades, and now heading into free agency? The expansion draft just adds a whole lot of stuff to this whole 2 weeks.
Yeah, it really did. A different dynamic, without a doubt. Certainly different kind of factor coming into play for a lot of teams. You taking into account which players become available, which players have now been selected. With free agency now basically in the fold, as teams can speak with players and, it's a weird setup. You can't officially negotiate a contract. You can try to sell them on your city and your team and all that fun stuff and gauge the interest levels. And that then determines what direction they plan on going in come July 1st. Do I go after player X? Or is this guy not going to be, somebody that's going to be available for me? And do I go back to the trade route? And that's what a lot of teams have been doing starting yesterday. And that's what they're going to continue to try to determine over these next couple of days. It's been a lot of activity, a lot of talk, and a lot of headaches trying to comb through it all. But it's certainly exciting.
David, there's so many cool things that have unfolded and that are upcoming, soon to unfold. And I want to ask, the most intriguing story, I think, upcoming for me with the UFAs has got to be Joe Thornton and the possibility of him leaving San Jose and the impact that he might have in a third line, something along those lines, for a contending team or so. What do you think transpires here with Joe Thornton?
He's received a lot of interest, a lot of calls from all kinds of different teams, from cup contenders, from the the lower seeded teams in the standings so far. Basically, any team that needs help at the center position or wants to bolster themselves up the middle, they've been contacting his camp. And it's still certainly way too early to tell what direction he's going to go in and what teams might, come out up front. But this is a guy that, he wants to play. He's got more hockey left in him, even with the injury. And the surgery on his knee, he wants to be able to play hockey, and he believes he can play hockey for an extended period of time. He wants a 3-year contract. Now, whether he gets that, obviously remains to be seen. And my understanding is that he's, willing to consider different variations of offers based on the teams and the setups and all that. But this is a guy that I could see end up with a team, like perhaps the Chicago Blackhawks, if the price is right. He could end up on a team that really needs a top centerman like the Montreal Canadiens. There are a lot of different options that are available to him. And, obviously this week he's going to try to determine what direction he wants to go in. There's the possibility of returning to San Jose, although it appears they're not willing to give him a 3-year contract. So Maybe they bridge the gap. They want to give him a one. If they get a two-year deal, perhaps he goes that route. He's got a lot of options in front of him, and this is a guy that's certainly an impact player, regressed a little bit offensively this past season, but I don't think that's overly that's an overly big concern for a lot of teams.
Is it easier to list the teams that aren't interested in him than list the ones that are?
It might be.
Like, is there that much fever for him?
Yeah, there really is. You know, I'm talking to a bunch of teams, talking to you know, his camp as well. There have been a lot of, at least yesterday anyway, there was a lot of interest to determine, kind of to gauge the interest levels, to see where he's at in his career, what he feels he wants to be, he can contribute. It'll certainly narrow down over the course of this week, but there's a ridiculous amount of interest in Thornton right now.
There's a name I hear talked about, and I'm seeing him high up, shockingly high up on trade list possibilities and all the rest of it. I don't understand this. Please explain to me if it's true and why teams would be interested in Dion Phaneuf at 32 years old, 4 years left on a $7 million per year contract.
Less minutes equals better hockey. Goes to Ottawa, doesn't have to be the top-tier guy, was able to contain his minutes and be put into different situations that didn't necessarily exploit him in certain scenarios, like he did with the Toronto Maple Leafs, because he was ending up having to play 22, 23 minutes a game. You bring that down, you cut that down, 18, 19, 20 minutes a game, and the quality of hockey is better. And that's what we saw with the Ottawa Senators. They're listening. They prefer to keep him. They like him. He was a good fit in the room. He was a good fit for the Sens. But there seems to be, there has been anyway, considerable amount of interest in Dion Phaneuf. But you got to, you know, present Ottawa with the right offer. They have absolutely no problem keeping him. The whole talk of everything was, you know, they really didn't want to lose Mark Messier on the back end, which they obviously did via the expansion draft to Vegas. But, you know, it happens. You move on from that. But because of the trade talks that occurred with teams, those have continued. I'm kind of 50-50 right now. If a team steps up with an offer that is deemed acceptable by Pierre Dorion, the GM of the Sens, but if they keep him, they're more than happy to do that.
David Pagnotta of thefourthperiod.com joining us this morning on the Big Show, TSN 1290, 39 minutes past the hour. What are you hearing around the Winnipeg Jets, if anything, David?
Exploration. A lot of exploration right now in terms of secondary scoring and quality depth. I don't think this is a team that's going to be, you know, going after some of the bigger guys in the UFA class, and there aren't many anyway, so I don't think they're overly concerned about that. But just trying to gauge, what kind of second, third line players might be available to them to add that kind of depth. And then at the same time, the trade route. I mean, that's what a lot of teams are doing, the Jets included, determining which players are available and then which guys make more sense to go after via trade. Goaltending is still an issue for the Jets. Cheval Dayoff said that over the end of the draft, that he's going to continue to explore his options in terms of what's available out there, whether he pursues somebody like a Philip Grubauer, whether he looks to free agency to add somebody else in, maybe perhaps a more veteran goalie. It's the crease is still an area of some concern for the Jets, just in terms of if they feel there's a better position available to them, then they'd like to go that route. Otherwise, they'll stick with what they've got and try to bolster the team from the back end out and add some depth.
David, I don't really understand what Joe Sakic is doing in Colorado with, Barry's name is out there all the time, but this whole torture session with Matt Duchene, again, another year out there and fishing around and having such high expectations for what you hope to have come back. And he's wondering why they can't get some level of chemistry in that locker room and buy-in and all the rest of it. Is he's just making a colossal mistake here by maybe overvaluing Matt Duchene?
Perhaps. It really depends on the offers that are coming in. And it doesn't sound, at least from his perspective, it certainly doesn't sound like he's found anything that he'd like to pursue. I do know that they've had talks with the Carolina Hurricanes about Noah Hanifin, but the Hurricanes are reluctant to pull off a one-for-one swap. They feel they need to add a little bit more to this mix in terms of, from at least from Colorado's perspective. So that means the Avs, if they're going to add to the mix, then Carolina's got to do the same thing. So this wouldn't be a one-for-one kind of swap. Those were the talks going on last week. I expect them to continue sometime this week. If they don't, then we can really understand the marketplace for Matt Duchene. But it's a process that, just like you said, it continues to drag out. And if this is a guy in Matt Duchene who's going to stick with the team next season, then, you know, Joe Thornton's got to put the reset button on this one, get everybody together, coaching staff, management, and Duchene and his agent. Everybody sit down in one room and say, look, it's September. We're still here. Let's close the book on, you know, trying to move you, and let's focus on you staying here in Colorado at least for the next 2 years and being a part of the solution. If that's the case, if he's back in September, then I think you have to do that, because the frustration levels that have continued to mount from Duchene's side of things, it just isn't really fair. And if it continues to get out there, that means Joe Sakic's really allowing it to get out there. You know, I haven't heard him come out and say that, you know, defending anything to defend his player, defend the situation. So certainly still looking to move him, but either, you know, pull the trigger on something, step up and get something going, or, you know, just put the kibosh on it and get everybody more comfortable, especially over the course of the offseason. This drags on. This is just going to add more frustration and more head games for a guy like Matt Duchene, and he doesn't need that.
This segment is brought to you by Olympic Homes, and it is with Mr. David Pagnotta on The Big Show, TSN 1290. What do you think of the Travis Hamonic trade and the price that was paid?
Big price, but not the type of price a lot of anybody expected, really. You know, I understand that, you know, he was certainly available, and they were looking to make some moves, and they were looking to, you know, kind of finagle the cap a little bit by bringing in a forward. And they certainly did that in Jordan Eberle in a $6 million cap hit. But all indications were that they were going to move Hamonic for some additional help up front. So you kind of look at it and say, all right, so really it was a combo of Hamonic and Strome for Eberle and all the picks, which kind of, you know, I like it, but it just wasn't the direction that Garth Snow made everybody believe that he wanted to go in. And this is a team that still needs additional firepower up front. They're certainly not done in terms of trying to add some assets and, you know, further entice John Tavares to stay long-term and sign an 8-year extension, which is really what they're trying to do more so than anything in addition to competing. But they want to convince their captain that they're for real, and they're trying to give a valiant effort to compete on a consistent basis. And if they can do that, they'll better their chances at locking him into a long-term contract to stay captain, you know, for 8-plus years. Excuse me. Again, the value was there. It was a good move from that perspective from the Islanders. I just don't think it was the right move to make, unless they blow people out of the water and start throwing money at Patrick Marleau and you know, Martin Hanzel or Joe Thornton or whomever to lure them to Brooklyn. Then, you know, I understand moving the salary makes a little more sense from that perspective. But if that's not the case, you just move Hamonic out for picks. Long-term, great. Short-term, really didn't do anything for you, and it doesn't really meet your objective that much in terms of adding additional assets to appease the captain.
An adventurous couple of weeks here for John Chayka. David, your thoughts on what he's done?
I like the roster moves, really do. You know, this is a team that, as we all know, they weren't that good, so they needed to bring in quality depth. And, you know, Jean Bersin is a great pickup for any club. This is a guy that the Hawks were, you know, reluctantly looking to move for some time from a salary cap perspective. But it was more or less a wash, you know, in terms of the dollars that were exchanged. The Blackhawks were high on Murphy for some time. They add an additional asset as part of the trade. So it's just a different dynamic in how they were shifting their club a little bit, freeing up a tiny bit of cap space. But from Arizona's perspective, great addition in Jalmerson, and great addition as well with Ranta and Derek Stepan. I thought it was a heck of a price to pay, but you bring in effectively a number one goalie for your team and at the same time a number one centerman. He may not be one of the top centermen in the league, but he's certainly better and makes this team better. And this is a club even without Shane Doan, and that's a hockey decision. I understand it. You know, it's a business, and, you know, they drag this out as long as they could with you know, Shane Doan, but at the end of the day, they got to change directions, and they'll do everything right by him after the fact. There's no question about that. But full props and full credit to John Chayka and his staff. The Phoenix Coyotes, or Arizona Coyotes, excuse me, are considerably better now than they were a week ago.
Only have about 20 seconds here, David, but who coaches the Coyotes in your mind?
I think
or who wants to?
Yeah, yeah, that's the big thing with everything going on. It's not management. It's the ownership situation is really what's kind of clouding things in Arizona. But I think Rick Tocchet gets a good look, and I think that would be a pretty good fit for them.
We appreciate your time as always. Great stuff, David. Have a great week.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Awesome stuff, David. Thanks so much.
This segment was a presentation of Olympic Homes. Get an Olympic coach in your corner and build with confidence. Visit them online at olympichomes.ca. NHL news and notes next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Stream us on the iHeartRadio app on all your favorite devices or get a customized playlist to suit your mood or activity. Your music, your station's always free. Download the iHeartRadio app today. If you do, you can find some poison somewhere. NHL news and notes time on The Big Show. Jim, Troy, and Brandon, 51 minutes past the hour. I'm going to throw the trades out at you guys. You guys give me your thoughts. We talked about the Hamonic trade. Did we get in depth in that? What do you... You like both sides of that, or? I thought it was a high price, but I also agree and have said for months, this is the time that you have to overpay in the National Hockey League. So if you think you have a chance, you overpay.
Yeah, it's obviously real high, and it really comes down because there's a conditional fourth going to the Islanders and a conditional second going back to the Flames. It really comes down to Hamonic for a first and a second round pick next year. And I know it's a high price to pay, but also you're getting exactly something that you need here in the minds of the Calgary Flames. So and of course it's going to be rich. Like, how do you pry or get somebody out of away from the Islanders there with a contract the way he's got it? It's a shame that he never came home. But just the way the Jets are set up, another right side D, it was just made it an impossible situation. But I think both sides get what they're looking for there.
Yeah, I don't. If you're the Islanders, do you need picks at this? Like, it's not like they got bad value for him or anything. But you're like, unless they use those picks maybe in trade currency, but. I mean, aren't you needing to go for it a little bit this year to make sure John Tavares...
Yeah, it doesn't help you with JT at all, does it?
No, that's kind of why I question the return they got. Not that it was a bad return, but I think he would have liked a roster player or more specifically another forward that he could play with there. But for Calgary, I mean, I love when teams are aggressive, and they had an opportunity to really solidify a hell of a top four, and they did that.
Word is Calgary's still trying to sign Winnipeg's Michael Stone, who they got from Arizona last year, too. If they could get him on a deal, which I doubt it'll fit cap-wise, but if he wanted to stay there, that's a pretty solid 5D men right there for Calgary. And the Islanders' first round and two second-round picks, you're going to replace Hamonic. It might take a while, but real easy. I mean, Morrissey and Trouba are first-round picks on the defense. And we know how that's playing out. The Pittsburgh Penguins acquired Ryan Reeves and a 2017 second-round pick, which was 51st overall, for their 31st overall pick, which was at the end of the first round, and Oscar Sundquist. Pittsburgh wanting to get tougher. Pittsburgh, who's won back-to-back Stanley Cups, wanted to get tougher.
And the sort of the storyline of this trade, or what seemed to sort of spiral out of control, was Reeves for a first-round pick. I don't get it. Well, that's not really what it was whatsoever, right? You got Oscar Sundquist going back to the or being acquired here by the Blues. And as far as picks go, the Blues get a 31st overall pick, right, with the first-round pick. But then the Penguins, they receive a second-round 51st pick. So that whole thing was a little bit blown out of proportion. But very interesting and maybe even strange how the team that has gone to capture Maybe it's because Sestito's such an idiot and they can't even use him. Like in spots where they need a that sort of presence, that you got such an idiot there that you can't really rely on whatsoever. At least a guy in like Ryan Reeves, you know that he's going to be disciplined. You know the guy can play hockey and bring a certain something to the table if you're looking to control it or police it to some degree and actually fit in and contribute and play. So it's a little bit of an interesting move from a team that has gone to capture the cup completely on speed and sort of skill here. So interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure I get it either, to be honest with you. I mean, yeah, you got pushed around for two straight Stanley Cups. Big, yeah, like, oh, poor Pittsburgh. Like, if we need some beef here, what are we going to do, win another one next year and get pushed around then?
That's what I mean. Like, Chris Kunitz is a UFA, and maybe they're going, well, this is a guy we can afford if we can't re-sign. Like, it's a slot. But they said they wanted to get tougher, and they won two Stanley Cups.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's not the move I would have made. It's funny, too, because, you know, you look at a team like Nashville and Chicago kind of echoed the same thing Pittsburgh said, where I think Stan Bowman said they wanted to add some size and get bigger. Mm-hmm. Nashville's not a very big team. Like, the Predators are another team, a la the Penguins, that are basically solely dependent on speed.
And that's what Chicago, like, that's what Bowman was saying, that they got pushed around by Nashville. But it wasn't anyone that watched that series. It wasn't that they got pushed around. They got skated into the ground by Nashville. Yeah. That was a weird part of that whole sequence as well.
Last trade we can have time for to get to, and we'll talk more of all the trades and all the moves on the Boss Pizza Fan Line at 9, is Braden Schenn surprisingly leaves the Philadelphia Flyers, goes to St. Louis in exchange for Yuri Laterra, a first-round pick in 2017, which was 27th overall, and a first-round pick conditional in 2018 for Braden Schenn.
Take this one, Wicks.
I'll take it, and I'm sure Hextall's going to take it. And I'm shocked at the amount they got back, and I don't think Laterra's much of a player. That's more of just kind of a make things work cap wise for St. Louis. But Braden Schenn does not score 5-on-5, and a lot of his numbers are propped up because of the Flyers' very, very strong power play that's been humming in the top five essentially for, I don't know, since Claude Giroux took over on the half boards there. But I don't know. I think it's a great move for Philly, for the Blues. I mean, two first rounders, and next year's draft is supposed to be a real, real strong one. That's quite the price to pay. I just don't think they're going to get the value on the trade that they necessarily think they're getting.
The Blues?
The Blues.
Okay. We'll get into the Jackets and the Blackhawks as well on the Boss Pizza Fan Line, but we have to take a break right now. We'll come back with more Big Show on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Our province is packed with shining stars in the world of sports. Every week, TSN 1290 would like to showcase and reward these individuals who are making a big impact and difference in what they do. Nominate a Manitoban athlete, coach, or volunteer who's dedicated to making their sport matter. Every Friday on the Big Show, we'll showcase a Subway Sports Star of the Week and reward him or her with a $50 Subway gift card. All you have to do to nominate your sports star, and we could be featuring them, is visit TSN1290.ca and nominate them. It's that simple. And we could be featuring them very soon, including this Friday on The Big Show, TSN 1290. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with you. An hour away from the Boss Pizza Fan Line, which will be open at 9 o'clock. Mark Scheifele is going to join us briefly at 9:30, but very interested to get your calls and thoughts on the draft and the trades that went down, and, of course, the CFL season, which started on the weekend, well, on Thursday night, quite a few upsets. It's hard to say upsets in week one, but there seemed to be quite a few going on around the league. And, of course, an actual tie. Brandon on the six-pack picked a tie between Calgary and Ottawa. And not only did he get it on SportsLink, but you nailed the tie, man.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could say I was surprised, but
I'm going to start getting you to make my six-pack picks for me. You're red hot with those. Derek Taylor from SportsCenter and, of course, the numbers on TSN when it comes to the CFL joins us now, and a proud Winnipegger. How are you, DT?
I'm doing very well. I'm still up charting this Hamilton-Toronto game. So, good times.
Well, that's where I wanted to start with you. How surprised or shocked or not at all are you with the Argos pulling off a win under Mark Trestman in the first game of the season against Hamilton?
Not surprised that they did, that Ricky puts up 506 yards. I mean, that's stunning. Hamilton's down. It's defensive backfield. They're two halfbacks. I was going to say they're two best defensive players, but that's not 100% true, which contributes to this. But, man, just to see S.J. Green with nonstop ridiculous catches and Jeff Fuller makes a ridiculous grab, and to think they dropped two touchdowns and could have just made this a waxing, it was more than I thought. If it holds up, I guess we'll see, but it was a pretty great week one.
That's the scary part of what we witnessed, I think, yesterday with the Argos here, DT, is that as brilliant as the offense was, and obviously when you're chucking the pill around for 506 yards and with some of the catches that were made and maybe weren't made by the Argos, their defense maybe was most impressive. Zach Collaros was under siege all game long.
Yeah, as I've been going through it, I'm expecting to see he just gets crushed on this play and he goes back to the sideline yelling at the coach saying, you got to help me out here. I don't know if it's as bad as I thought it was. Like, just as I don't have it finished, but I'm going to assume he's under pressure somewhere between 30 and 40% of the time, which wasn't Jonathan Jennings bad this week. But, yeah, he's taking shots in the mouth. And, I mean, this defense is now, the way it's evolved after free agency took over, and they don't even have Alan Michael Cash, Toronto's defense looks tremendous, and we thought, hey, Trestman's going to come in and fix the offense. But you add in Marcus Ball looks terrific. Johnny Sears, who Bombers fans are familiar with, has made some big plays in this one. And then across that defensive front, they're crushing Hamilton, and it hasn't even had Sean Lemon make a huge impact. So that's very impressive.
And you mentioned that about pressure on the quarterback. Let's get into the Eskimos-Lions game as well. The Eskimos go on the road, pull out a win. A lot of people have high hopes for the BC Lions in the West, and a lot of question marks around Edmonton. Their defense put a lot of pressure on Jonathan Jennings.
They really did. And the questions, I mean, they've lost all these guys to the NFL and to other teams in the last couple of years. You're wondering, well, how are they possibly going to do this? And then you see they throw in Daquan Bowers from the NFL who's come up. And to run him and Elmondo Sewell together, Bowers was just making people look silly. Like Kirby Fabian, the right guard for BC, just got fooled so many times and reached and missed on what must have been three cut blocks. And Bowers is, you watch him and go, wow, this guy is, why is he not in the NFL? Because this guy is tremendous physically. And yeah, like Jennings literally was under pressure 51% of the time he dropped back. So as much as you have all those receivers and all that talent in BC, you're never going to win like that. So even if you're keeping in six and seven guys, you're still getting your quarterback hammered. BC's got to figure some stuff out. That said, they were in trouble the first 3-4 weeks of last season. Jennings did not look particularly good. So I'm not too worried about him quite yet, but give it some time.
Your thoughts? A lot of people thought that Calgary Stampeders would use this game to sort of make a statement for some of the difficulties endured during the Grey Cup, but Trevor Harris and the Red Blacks were up to the test.
What was that one about? We talked about it before kickoff, and one of the anchors, Corey Warren, turns to me and goes, this is going to be a blowout, right? I'm like, oh yeah, Calgary is going to mash them into the dirt. And then Calgary's down two touchdowns with 5 minutes to go. I don't even... I can't explain what Ottawa does to Calgary, but it's bizarre. Ottawa doesn't have the talent Calgary does, and it just does not matter. Like three ties in a row when they've played in Ottawa, and four ties in 3 years, well, four overtimes in 3 years, including the Grey Cup. It's baffling. If the game in Calgary, this coming week is even close, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to quit because it just can't be close again, right?
Don't quit, DT. Don't quit, man.
All right.
Derek Taylor joining us on the Big Show, TSN 1290, 10 minutes past the hour. Saskatchewan went into Montreal. Montreal pulls it out. Darren Durant, maybe not truthful about how much that game meant to him, but the Bombers head to Saskatchewan on Saturday to kick off their season. Before we talk Bombers with you, just get your thoughts on the Alouettes and the Riders and what you saw from that game from both teams.
Well, the Alouettes should have lost that game, right? I mean, Kropinia has a very makeable field goal attempt with essentially no time left. That should have gone through, and if it had, we wouldn't have seen Darian just staring down Chris Jones and yelling at him at the end of the game. I was expecting a little more. They didn't allow a ton of points. I was expecting maybe a little more from Saskatchewan's, you know, their defense as a whole, their front. I didn't see a ton of Willie Jefferson making plays in there. I didn't see a ton of Enoch Mwamba making plays. So perhaps some things that they have to figure out there. The receiving core, I mean, again, it wasn't as impressive as I'd hoped, but I'm chalking that up to week one because I still think Saskatchewan should be pretty good because Kevin Glenn's got some game left in him.
You know, DT, I do put a little bit of that end of that game or a big chunk of it on Chris Jones. There's just no reason in the world to settle for a 45-yard field goal attempt when you're sitting at the Montreal 39 with 37 seconds left. I think you have to be a little bit more aggressive. Try and make it a 35-yarder, which is almost a gimme these days, instead of a tester at 45. I got to ask you, though, about the officiating, the instant replay debate, like right out of the gate. The poor officials of the CFL, like most officials of Major League Sports, it seems, or something sniffing at Major League, if we include CFL in that, there's so much criticism going on, and the refs sure and the command center sure did themselves no help this weekend.
Well, yeah, the touchdown, not touchdown in the Saskatchewan game, and then almost blowing the Kamar Jordan call in the Calgary-Ottawa game, which was way clearer. The first one, all the panelists say, hey, that Saskatchewan game, that's in no way a touchdown. They almost blew Duke Williams' first amazing reception in the BC-Edmonton game. They called it incomplete on the field when everybody saw, what are you talking about? That's a catch. His knee slides down in bounds and force Edmonton to use a challenge early on in this one. I mean, thankfully, I don't remember any bad calls in this Hamilton-Toronto game, but it was so bad for them. And then to see replay review, the Kamar Jordan fumble, which I guess is consistent with the it's not a fumble until it's completely out of your hands, but I don't know anybody, like, that's the Calvin Johnson catch. Like, it's a fumble. We know it's a fumble, and whatever the rule is, change the rule so it says that is a fumble, because that there's no way that's not a fumble.
Well, and the issue, and we won't, maybe we will harp on it, I don't know, but the issue, like, with the Duke Williams one, and to me, it wasn't even close. Like, there's debatable ones, but then I always try to put myself in the shoes of the official watching. That wasn't even close. Like, that wasn't. It was actually more bizarre to call it incomplete than it was to call it complete. There was nobody in his way. He's wide open by about 2 or 3 yards. He's clearly in bounds. I don't get it.
The only thing I could think was, you're not blocked by anybody, but maybe Duke's behind blocks it, because his hip lands out of bounds, but that's after, like, his shin or his knee, whichever it was, landed in bounds and slid for a fraction. So
true, but if your hip's in bounds, where's your leg?
Well, if your hip just touches the line, clearly your leg is. I thought immediately that's a catch. How do you think that's not a catch? So it's I couldn't tell you where the official was to make that call, but the only thing I can think is he was in some way obstructed by Williams himself. But, man, did that kid ever have a game? Holy cow.
Yeah.
DT, the Bombers go into Saskatchewan on Saturday, and it's going to be an absolute beauty. Of course, the first regular season game at the new Mosaic. What I want to ask you, man, is you look at a team like Saskatchewan. What Saskatchewan and Montreal did on Thursday. Look at where the Argos did. Those three teams, arguably, most everyone had in the bottom part of the CFL, and yet I thought all three played at a pretty solid level. Are you surprised by what appears to be the parity coming out of the gate here for the league?
I'm not, because last year week one was pretty weird too, right? Like, Calgary lost in week one. Montreal won in week one fairly, by a touchdown. So there was weird stuff early in the season last year. I just believed Toronto. I had Toronto to finish second in the East. I just kind of believed Tressman and all this personnel they brought in was going to help. And Montreal, they did win, but were they really particularly impressive in winning? So I'm not sure how much I'm afraid of them. They have one receiver, but after that, where does it go after Ernest Jackson? And I have real concerns about their defense, what with all the people they just let walk in the offseason. So if you're the Bombers, I'm not particularly concerned about, you know, Montreal coming hard from behind and stealing that, you know, one of the spots that's going to be in the East. So I feel pretty good. I mean, what about Saskatchewan that you saw in that game maybe scares you if you're the Bombers? I don't really see it quite yet, but then again, half a dozen things I didn't see coming this week, so who knows?
It's going to be a good one. I know, especially on Canada Day, a lot of Bomber fans pumped to get the season underway. Fantasy-wise, I only got 40 points this week. How'd you do?
I was in the 60s, I think. I had Kolaros in the Hamilton game, obviously, did me in. But
me too.
With the comeback, got me, I think, 14 points. Brandon Zylstra put up a $1.50 for Edmonton, so that was a solid pickup. So I kind of struck out on, I guess, Hamilton's defense, Kolaros, and Terrell Sutton was nothing to write home about. Oh, and then Tavares Daniels, pick him in fantasy, and he's going to be out for an extended length of time, I suspect, because he left that game in a sling. So I crippled one guy and destroyed an entire city of Hamilton. So, you know, give a little.
J.S. Green was good for me, though.
Oh, my goodness. I almost forgive him for savaging me on Twitter because he made four great, unbelievable catches, but still not so much because he didn't score a touchdown. So he's no, I don't know. He's no Posey, DeVere Posey, with that amazing grab. So, well, 79-yard grab.
Great stuff.
SJ's got for week two.
Yeah, great stuff, Derek. We appreciate your time. Follow him on Twitter, @DTOnSC. Great CFL stuff and great numbers as well as the odd sense of humor. Good stuff, Derek.
I do what I can, brother.
Thanks so much, DT.
Take care, guys.
We'll take a break and delve back into this draft as well and free agency that's around the corner in the National Hockey League. That also gets underway on Saturday on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is excited to return to Assiniboia Downs for another Jocks and Jockeys Night, Wednesday, July the 5th, including dinner, a betting seminar, pop, free wager, and prizes. And the whole thing is hosted by the TSN 1290 crew. The only catch, you have to win your way in. Keep listening for your chance to win invites. Want more information? Visit TSN1290.ca. We have four invites to give you right now or to the 12th caller through. 780-1290, 780-1290 will get you four invites to TSN 1290, Jocks and Jockeys Night at the Assiniboia Downs on July the 5th, 780-1290 once again. The Big Show, Jim Tolf, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Bottom of the hour, we're going to talk with Scott Ferguson, and of course the Boss Pizza fan line will be open for a full hour at 9 o'clock. And also remember, Mark Scheifele doing a lot of great work with Kids Sport this weekend, and today's his golf tournament. He's going to join us at 9:30 as well. So stay tuned for that on TSN 1290. Free agencies around the corner. You can talk to players right now, I guess their agents, or woo them and get their feeling. We talked with David Pagnata about that's what's going on with Joe Thornton. Jets active in this, I would presume, as well. And who would they be talking to? Who would they be looking at? I hear a lot about Carl Alsner, the left-handed defenseman that's a free agent for Washington. Your thoughts on that?
I don't think they're going to be... You're going to overpay for Carl Alsner? Does that seem like something that Cheveldayoff and the Jets are set to do? I don't think so. I don't think there's any chance of that. You?
Well, I don't know. It depends on the price. I don't think... Like, I think Carl Alsner's a great addition, 2 to 3 years, $3 million a year. But I think he'll get more than that, and I think he'll get more term than that. So, yeah,
which
I don't
means
know.
That,
if,
yeah, there's no chance.
I mean, I think you knock the door on that, but I'm not sure. We're talking free agency, and Carl Alsner, do you approach that? Do you chase it? And who are you talking to if you're the Jets during this period where you can just sort of woo somebody?
That is a classic overpay situation waiting to happen. You just know dang well Cheveldayoff won't even engage.
No, for me, Alsner, the only way you would probably contact him is if he's one of those guys for whatever reason that doesn't sign 3 weeks after free agency starts, and maybe you get him on a cheap 1 or 2 year deal type of thing. So I just don't think he's the kind of guy that any team really should be offering 4 or 5 years for. I would probably take a look at Brendan Smith. Got traded to the Rangers from the Red Wings last year.
Former Red Wing, yeah.
Left shot defenseman. And I don't think he'll cost a ton. I guess it depends on the price and that sort of thing. But that's a name that I think would certainly improve the Jets' back end.
Is it just solely defenseman? Because that's what we're focused on in this city. But as David Pagnotta was saying, you know, anything that would augment the top six, the top nine for the Jets, that's what it seems to be they're interested in and looking at right now. Who out there would you guys look at if you're the Jets?
Top six or top nine? Really? No. Nobody. Nobody.
You wouldn't augment anybody?
I wouldn't augment anybody?
Well, augment the situation?
No, I don't think that you're talking about what the Jets need and I think you're talking about go get a goaltender and go get a lefty, top four preferably, depth guy mandatory. I just don't see a situation where I think they've got all the depth they need internally already. I don't think you need to go grab anyone.
No, no. I would be pretty surprised, honestly, if they picked up another forward. I mean, maybe the only thing I could see is maybe you get a fourth line guy that's killed penalties and has a bit of experience. Like, that's kind of the only thing. But at that point, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the Jets have enough, you know, forwards-wise, I feel like they have enough good penalty killers that it's not a need for them to go pick somebody up. But if they were to get a fourth line center guy that's pretty good on the face-off draw and kills penalties, it wouldn't be the worst sign in the world. But, there's no spot open in the top nine. Mm. Unless they make a trade when they move one of their forwards out to grab a left-handed defenseman, then maybe. But
Kyle Connor's coming in.
Yeah. Like, there's just no room in the top nine right now. Like, at all.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's just goalie and maybe a trade for a defenseman? Is that what you guys are looking at, this free agency?
That's the way it looks like it's got to play itself out, right? It's not looking like they're going to fill their defensive need, likely defensively via UFA. The goaltending, it's super. It's all out. That has to be solved via UFA. You just hope that they make a trade, do something, and somehow get a top four left side D guy here. You hope that. And at the very least, a depth situation.
Who is our... Oh, go ahead.
No, yeah. I was going to say one name, you know, that might be of interest, but I doubt he would come here, and he's up there in age, but Brian Campbell can still play. Like, he's... Don't look at the age when you look at whether or not Brian Campbell can still be a contributor. So if he was willing to come to Winnipeg, that might be an interesting
look.
Well,
that's what I'm thinking. Like, and even some of these veteran forwards, I'm looking at, you know, Patrick Sharp. I don't know if he'd come, but he's 35 years old. But if you could put him in the top nine... Wouldn't that be all right as a center for $2 or $3 million a year for 2 years? I don't know. Like, I agree with you guys. It's pretty loaded right there. And if somebody's not ready, like a Rossovic, then maybe you go this route. But it'll be real interesting on what they are actually feeling out and who they're talking to come free agency for sure. That is this Saturday, by the way. Who is, and we'll be on the air with that, Joel Marcoux and our own Rick Ralph will have a live show at 11 a.m. Covering free agency for 2 hours. Of course, Illegal Curve will be on the morning here on TSN 1292. Who's our winner of the four invites to Assiniboia Downs TSN 1290's Jocks and Jockeys Night?
It's Rick Smith.
Rick Smith, congratulations, sir. We'll see you out there and keep listening all week long for more invites to be given away, courtesy of us here on The Big Show. Scott Ferguson joins TSN 1290 next.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
What greater gift is there than the gift of life? That's exactly what every blood donation delivers. Blood and blood products are a critical part of everyday medical care, including major surgeries, medical procedures, cancer treatments, and managing disease. This Canada Day, Canadian Blood Services is hoping you can make a donation. The Canadian Blood Services location at 777 William Avenue will be open 8 a.m. till 2 p.m. To book your appointment, you can call 1-888-2-DONATE. Visit blood.ca. Walk-ins are welcome at 777 William Avenue as well. The Big Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki with you on this Monday morning. Lots to get to, and lots to get to on the Boss Pizza fan line, of course. That'll be open at 9 o'clock. And just a reminder, Mark Scheifele doing his fine work throughout the weekend with Kids Sport and his golf tournaments today. He'll join us at 9:30 for a quick chat as well of the Winnipeg Jets. Toronto Blue Jays avoid a sweep yesterday in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium versus the Royals and get a win on Sunday. But the bigger story of the weekend was probably Roberto Osuna. We're going to talk Blue Jays now with Scott Mitchell. Scott Mitchell from TSN, of course, covering the Blue Jays beat reporter for a long time. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well, thank you. And I guess we'll just start with the whole Roberto Osuna. We discussed it, and it really, you know, we don't know him and don't cover him like you do, but weird to say a proud moment that a guy like that would step up and sort of take the acknowledgement of something not right with himself and doing this?
Definitely. I mean, this is a young guy, and I think when everyone saw him, you know, sitting in the dugout in a save situation, I don't think anyone really, this crossed anyone's mind that it could be something like this. And I think that was obviously a little bit of a surprise when he revealed it after the game Friday night. John Givens kind of said that it was a personal issue, and that's all you need to know. And then I think everyone was shocked when Roberto stepped up and said that he just didn't feel right mentally, because it's not a thing that you hear a lot of professional athletes do, no matter who you are, especially not a young 22-year-old kid like Roberto Osuna, who is a fairly outgoing guy once you get to know him, and he's but he's fairly quiet. He's fairly reserved, just in a day-to-day setting. If you get to know him, he's a little more out there and joking around and things like that. But I think you have to credit the Blue Jays and credit Roberto Osuna for stepping up and being honest and putting this out there, because it takes a lot for a young kid to be able to do that. And obviously, it looks like he's on the right track to recovery. Obviously, being on the mound yesterday and pitching an inning, and I tweeted out last night that it was a complete footnote that he was dominant striking out three, because it was just nice to see him back on the hill.
I tell you, Scott, it's pretty inspiring as a society. 20 years ago, there's no way an athlete comes out and discusses that openly like that. It's great that we've come as far as we have as a society to have a good, solid perspective on this, and sure hoping that he finds wellness soon. Ask you about Jose Bautista, who's really, really charged as of late. After coming out of the gate and stumbling, he just seems to be getting better and better.
Yeah, that move to the leadoff spot was kind of what Jose needed, and exactly what the Blue Jays needed as well. You looked at yesterday when they broke that game open late. It was Jose Bautista keying it from the leadoff spot. There's the bases loaded, and Bautista's up, and it's Peter Moylan on the mound, and he threw a ball that was clearly in the strike zone that was missed, but Jose Bautista took it and it ended up working a bases loaded walk. And you look at the former lineup construction, and if that's Kevin Pillar, is he chasing a pitch here and there, and then there's zero at the time, and it could be a totally different inning if Bautista doesn't have the patience to draw that walk, and that's been his calling card throughout his career. And obviously, when the Blue Jays were looking for a leadoff hitter, you look at Bautista. He spent a little time there last year, and you look at just what he brings to an at bat, and it's exactly what you need out of a leadoff spot. And when you look at how Jose Bautista's career has gone over the past couple of years, maybe the power isn't what it once was. I don't know if this guy's a 40 home run hitter anymore, but he sure can draw a walk. And when you have that in the leadoff spot, and when you put Russell Martin behind him and then Josh Donaldson, this lineup looks a little more potent at the top as far as getting guys on in front of the guys like Donaldson and Smoke, who have been driving guys in. So I think it's helped Jose Bautista, and yesterday it definitely helped the Toronto Blue Jays.
The Jays are three games under 500. They're five games back of the lead in the East. They're 3.5 out of a wild card. But, Scott, I'm wondering how bizarre, or if it's not bizarre, considering everything that's gone on around the Jays, not only their record, but you look at the Sanchez injury, you look at the Donaldson injury, and then you add in the Kevin Pillar situation and now the Roberto Osuna. This has to stand out as a sort of a weird year for the Jays overall, no?
It's funny. I was kind of thinking that over the weekend, that it's been a very dramatic season for this ball club. I mean, you nailed a couple of them there. I mean, all the injuries, sure, we talked about that. We talked about the awful start that, you know, it wasn't just a team playing bad baseball. This was everything going wrong, which was odd. And then, yeah, you look at Aaron Sanchez, a guy who they expected, some expected to be in the Cy Young race. He's barely pitched at all. And Josh Donaldson out, and Troy Tulowitzki out, and left field's been a problem, and Justin Smoke's come out of nowhere to potentially be an all-star and be one of this team's not only best hitters but most complete hitters. And yeah, it's been a very tumultuous start to this season, and we're 75 games in now, and it's really hard to evaluate still what this team is and where they're going. And I think that's, you know, probably the same thing that Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro are saying, because I don't know how you evaluate this team. Sure, they're in last place. Sure, they're only 5 games out. They're 3 games under 500. They haven't been over 500 all year, but you still feel like maybe this team can contend if things go right and they can put together a real good stretch of baseball. But that's the thing. We're at the point now where this team needs a real good stretch of baseball. They need to go 8-2 over 10, something like that, to really get back in the mix over the next month or so. And, you know, there are signs that this ball club is capable of that, but we just haven't seen it yet through all the drama and things like that going on off the field and on the field as well.
J.A. Happ has been pretty nifty since coming back from that bad elbow.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's been huge for this team as well, just because, you know, J. Happ is such an important guy when you look at how many games he won for this ball club last year. And then when you look at what happened with him walking off the mound in April, I mean, I think a lot of people thought maybe his season would be over. And even when he came back, he didn't look like the same guy for the first couple starts. But then you start to see over the last couple starts that he's looked real good, and probably you know, past the mental things from that left elbow issue that always comes along with that, especially a 34-year-old guy who, you know, walks off a mound with what he thought would be a serious a more serious elbow injury at the time, but he's looked like the J Happ that we saw last year over the past couple starts, and that's big for this team. And when you look at coming into the year that this rotation was supposed to be the strength of this team, and Marcus Stroman's kind of the only one that has lived up to that consistently this season, and Marco Estrada having a decent start against the Royals as well was a good sign, because if this team's going to go anywhere over the next month, the next 2 months, the next 3 months, it's going to be that starting rotation, and it's going to be guys like Happ and Estrada pitching as well, if not better than they did last year, to get this team back in contention.
Scott Mitchell talking Blue Jays with us on the Big Show this morning, TSN 1290, 41 minutes past the hour. You can follow him on Twitter at ScottyMitchTSN. A lot of changes to the lineup this week, and I'm wondering if that John Gibbons is clearly trying to shake things up and get the offense going, but where is he at the point of this season with this team and this roster? Is this sort of also a sort of... I don't want to say, you know, I've had enough, but he's literally searching for answers here.
Yeah, some of the changes were long overdue. I mean, he rode with Kevin Pillar in that leadoff spot, and like we talked about, he shifted that up coming into this road trip, which was needed. And that's the thing. I mean, you get Bautista and Martin. These are clearly your two best OBP guys, the guys that can work walks, the guys that can get on base. So you move them up in the lineup, and you hope they can set the table for your guys. Justin Smoke, I don't know the exact number in front of me, but many of his home runs, way too many, have been of the solo variety, because he just hasn't had guys on. And they move him up to the cleanup spot and flip-flop him with Morales. And the one guy I think everyone's waiting on is Troy Tulowitzki. He showed a few signs of life over the weekend, but this is a guy who is so key to this lineup, because when you look at the top, it's dangerous. When you got Josh Donaldson sitting up there, this is going to be a formidable top of the lineup. But Troy Tulowitzki is a guy who extends it and turns that 1-4 into a 1-6 and really lengthens that lineup out and allows allows pitchers to kind of look at it and maybe approach it a little differently. But the thing for John Gibbons, his hands are kind of tied just because he's got this veteran lineup, and there aren't a whole lot of roster machinations that you can do to change this up. I think this was the big one that we saw this week, and I think they'd love to maybe add a bat and maybe get Steve Pierce going for real. He's looked okay since he's been back, but obviously coming off the calf injury that cost him about 5 weeks, he's being slowly worked back in. But I know they view him as an everyday guy and another one of those guys that can really lengthen that lineup. But this is the crew that got them here, and this is the veteran group that's for the most part been around the last couple of years, and they need to start hitting, and they need to get this team firing on all cylinders, because that's been the problem in June. If it's the defense one night, it's the pitching another night, and maybe the bats go quiet on the third night. So they just need to find a way to get everything working at once.
For all you old schoolers out there, Tim Tebow's hitting Jay-Z 22 twos here in Class A ball, and now he's getting a little bit of a bump with that, Scotty, up to Class A ball. Your thoughts, and whether or not you care at all, or do you find it intriguing at all? What's going on here with Tim Tebow?
You know what? I mean, Tim Tebow has been the butt of a lot of jokes on my Twitter over the years. And when I heard this, little endeavor last year, I kind of laughed and thought it was a complete kind of sideshow for Tim Tebow. And I didn't think that anyone without Tim Tebow's name would be afforded this type of opportunity. But I got to say, I mean, 222 isn't going to impress anybody, but I've been impressed just that he hasn't looked completely out of place. And I think when you look at what he's done, does he deserve a promotion? Probably not. But from by all the accounts, I've heard that Tim Tebow is Tim Tebow down there. He is an attraction and a star. And I don't know, maybe St. Lucie needs a bump in ticket sales for the second half of the year. But I don't know if it'll do that. I don't know how much it'll help them having a 222 hitter playing left field. I think he's made like 7 errors in the outfield this year as well, which is not good, obviously. But you got to credit to Tim Tebow, because even hitting 222 in the minor leagues is hard to do. And I think this guy, if anything, he's proven that he's a terrific athlete and a guy who's willing to work to do anything. I've had a few people say to me that they expect to see him in the major leagues in September as a little bit of a, I guess, throwing him a bone and maybe giving the fans something to talk about if the Mets are out of contention. And I don't know that I'd like that. I don't know that he deserves that at this point. But, hey, I mean, 222 for a guy who spent his entire young adult life playing football for the Florida Gators in the NFL, that's pretty damn impressive.
He's got 99 problems, but being promoted ain't one. Anyone? Anyone? No? Never mind. Big week for the Jays after the off day today and the alumni golf tournament, Scott. They host the Orioles, and then, of course, Canada Day weekend, they got the Red Sox coming in. Obviously, big divisional games this week.
Yeah, this is a massive stretch. There's no other way to put this. I mean, we've talked essentially about these games being huge. Since the end of May since the end of April when this team was really sliding. But I think this is the stretch that everyone's been looking at for a little while now. And I know Ross Atkins kind of mentioned leading into the All-Star break the last time I talked to him about a week ago that he was kind of really looking at this. And yeah, you get 3 at home against the Orioles, you get 3 at home against the Red Sox, and then you go to New York for 3, and then you come back to finish off just before the All-Star break with 4 against the MLB best Houston Astros. So if that's a gauntlet, if that's not a gauntlet, I don't know what is, because this team needs to play catch up within the East Division. They have not been good against East Division teams, and then you get 9 in a row against the 3 teams immediately above you that you're trying to catch. So that's going to tell a lot. And then if you can get through that, you got four litmus test games against the Houston Astros to see where you're at heading into the All-Star break. Potentially could get a big boost in that Houston series if all goes well. Aaron Sanchez expected to start his rehab assignment tomorrow, actually, and they want him to have two rehab starts. And then you could see him back in that Houston series, which obviously would be not only big for that series, but big to just get Sanchez one start heading into the All-Star break, get him a little bit of a couple days off there, and then have him really rolling coming out of it. So, you know, we're going to learn a lot about this team over the next 10 days or so, that's for sure.
Going to be a great week for the Jays, at least to keep an eye on and watch for sure. Scott, we appreciate your time as always. Thanks for doing this and enjoy your week.
Hey, no problem. I didn't mean to slough off your Jay-Z joke. I can't knock your hustle. So.
Thanks so much, man.
Can't
take
knock
care, Scott.
Your hustle. Yeah, I like nice. That. Yeah. I misrepresented. I wanted to say he's got 99 baseball problems, but getting promoted ain't one, because life is pretty good for Tebow. Uh-huh. You know, it's an interesting thought, guys. Like, we hear all about this Tim Tebow, but literally, say he's got $20 million in the bank. If you had $20 million in the bank, what would you rather be doing right now? Doesn't matter what level of organized ball you're in. Wouldn't you want to spend the summer playing ball?
I know it doesn't matter how much you have in the bank. Doesn't matter. If he doesn't have kids and he's living his life as he wants to, chasing his dreams, I would say subscribe to that any chance you get in life.
Well, it matters if you only have $10 in the bank.
Not if you're happy and satisfied with what you're doing, man. It doesn't matter. As long as you're feeding yourself, you got a place to live. I think it's wonderful. I just think we live in a society now where everyone's so like catty about stuff, and I think it's pathetic how a bunch of people, the majority of people, reacted when he made the jump to baseball. He's a dude living his dream, playing baseball. You know, leave him alone, let him play.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. Really, he's not hurt anyone, and it seems like he's doing it for the right reasons. Like, it would feel a bit cheesy or campy if he's out there and, you know, TV cameras following him around. Like, he's just kind of going about his business,
and he's
getting better. Like, it's not like he's a total joke, right? Like,
well, that's another debate to be had, though. Like, I read a piece the scouts saying he looks no different than training camp, and reading how his management sort of justified the promotion, because the numbers certainly don't do it. They start getting into his launch flight and all the rest of it, but they're saying his numbers don't show it, but he is improving. So those who are negative on it are saying, like, this is all just about money and for the fans and all the rest of it.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's true to an extent. I just meant more so, like, you know, he's not hitting 150 and then throwing baseballs, you know, 400 feet over the catcher's head from center field. Like, he's not a great prospect. He's not even a good prospect, really. But, you know, at least he's not embarrassing himself out there.
Well, and that's what I mean. It's about the money. It's not like he's $5 million in the hole and he's doing this for promotion and he's selling every aspect of this story and he's doing it to try and get some cash. It's, you know, good for him. Like, I'm interested to follow this, and I think good for him to be living out to what he wants to do with his life, being able to do this at this point of his life. By the way, this is breaking news. Derek Ryan gets an extension from the Carolina Hurricanes. The 30-year-old who made the NHL last year for the first time in his career went the university route after junior was over in Europe, and then the Charlotte Checkers in Carolina brought him back last year. Or not this past season, but the year prior. He gets his first taste in the National Hockey League last year, and he gets a one-year extension worth $1.4 million. So Derek Ryan, the 30-year-old, gets another year in the show with the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll take a break and tee up the Boss Pizza fan line when we come back on the Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 and Robertson College present Manitobaville. We're awarding $25,000 to put towards a project that enhances one special Manitoba community. To enter, rally your friends and family in your community to make a video about your hometown. Tell us how $25,000 can make it an even better place to live. Record a video telling us about your hometown and how you would spend the $25,000 and send it to us at tsn1290.ca. Before noon on Friday, July the 14th, 10 finalists will be revealed on Monday, July 24th. Then the public will vote for a winner to receive the $25,000. Manitobaville, make your hometown even prouder. Presented by Robertson College and proudly supported by Chicken Chef, Star Ready to Move Homes, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Merritt Contractors. And for more information on and the rules and regulations, visit tsn1290.ca. The Big Show, Jim, Troy, and Brandon. And the Boss Pizza Fan Line going to be open at 9 o'clock, 3 minutes away. Short segment here, guys, but to tee up the phones, the draft, the Jets, what'd you think?
Well, we don't really know much about the players, the vast majority of players the Jets took, right? What I have read about Vesalainen is nice mitts, nice hockey IQ, skates well, doesn't always bring it. So let's hope that they can coax that out of him. He plays at a high level. But it'll be we know this. We have a lot of faith in the scouting department and expect these young fellas to step up. Look forward to seeing the names on the ice soon.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people won't like the pick solely because it wasn't a left-handed defenseman with the first pick there, but I like the pick because that means you're solely sticking to the best player available strategy, and I give him a lot of credit for that. But it's another big kind of NHL event that goes by with the Jets not making any sort of aggressive moves to fix up their blue line depth. And I mean, once July 1st goes, there's a couple days after that in early July where you see trades, but like there's not a lot of time left. I'm not too worried about the goalie situation, but when it comes to fixing the blue line, like it, I don't know. I'm not freaking out yet, but it's getting closer and closer to that point.
You're wondering. You're starting to wonder. We got to go, but we'll tee it up more. Or if you want to get in, by all means, text 1290 with standard message rates applying, or give us a call right now, 780-1290. Your thoughts on the Jets draft, the trades that went down, and what are you expecting from free agency? Of course, the Bombers kick off their season this Saturday as well. Lots to get to from the weekend. Anything and everything on the Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290 next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290, proud to be a media sponsor for MTS Super Spike July 21st and 22nd at Maple Grove Rugby Park. Registration is now open and event tickets for non-participants are currently on sale. Taking the stage this year is multi-award winning Sam Roberts Band. Proceeds from this event will be supporting Kids Sport and the True North Youth Foundation. More information is online at tsn1290.ca. The Big Show on TSN 1290, Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki. You can text us now by texting 1290 with standard message rates applying, or give us a call on the Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Lots to get to from the weekend, of course, the draft, everything else. For those wondering, yes, the Winnipeg Jets development camp starts today at Bell MTS Iceplex. First on-ice session is at 1 o'clock, and then 3:45, and then tomorrow through Thursday, they start at 10 a.m., and 10:30 on Friday. If you're looking for that schedule, of course, WinnipegJets.com as well as TSN1290.ca. To the Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Phil, you're kicking us off today. Go ahead.
Morning, fellas. How you doing?
Good, thanks. You?
Not too bad. So wanted to talk naturally about the draft and the Jets and Chevy and all that good stuff. As a fan, I'm even more concerned than I was before with the inactivity. Like Brandon had said previously a few minutes ago, that, you know, there isn't much time for Chevy to make any moves, and I don't necessarily think that people were hoping for free agency to be the solutions anyways, with the exception of goaltender. And I actually thought Brian Elliott months ago would be a great option, and it sounds like that's the most likely one, which I'm satisfied with. But that's not really – that's not a challenging move for Chevy to make. I mean, there's a lot of free agent goalies out there, so I don't really put much stock in if and when he gets Elliott, like, you know, congrats, Chevy, you made a good move. It's just something you have to do, and it's right there. The left side D is a real problem. I get the idea that the Jets drafting best overall player, because at that point, you know, it's why just pick position if you have a guy you really like in Vesalainen, which from all accounts sounds like he could be either a stud or a dud. But, you know, at 24, you pick the flyer and you see what happens. But my concern with that, if you're picking constantly best player overall, and then you can't parlay those players into other pieces that are more needed for your roster, that's a problem. and picking Vesalainen, even if he ends up being a stud, do you see a place where he fits on this roster with the young top six that the Jets are eventually going to have? I don't. And if Chevy is not capable of making deals to fill the other needs on the roster, that's a large problem. I get that, you know, he made that large splash, that big trade about 2 years ago, but you can only ride that for so long. That's the only thing. Is that the only transaction he's done, I believe, that's involved players? And that's of concern. And I get that he mentioned in the media that, you know, he was close to a transaction that involved roster players. That is not normal for Chevy to divulge that information. I think he's feeling pressure now, and deservedly so. And it's concerning as a fan that even when he's feeling pressure, he still wasn't able to get a deal done. So I'm a little more concerned than I was last week. He still has some time until free agency, and then, like Brandon said, a couple days after the fact. If nothing happens by then, Jets fans are going to have to sit pretty and realize that this is what it is. And I don't necessarily think that the whole new no-move clause is the biggest deal. I think it's Chevy at that point in time, because every single team in the league makes player-for-player trades, and the Jets aren't the only team on no-move list. There's a lot of teams that are on no-move list, and yet they still somehow are able to acquire players via trade. And so I am hopefully optimistic, I guess. I'm hoping that Chevy's able to do something, but if nothing happens this week or in free agency, I think Jets fans need to realize that you've got a GM that's not capable to pull the trigger on a trade necessarily, and we're going to be stuck with this team for, you know, the foreseeable future. And if the excuse is that, you know, because of no move clauses, the Jets aren't able to make transactions, and I guess from a fan's perspective, we're just supposed to understand that the Jets are never going to make trades forever going forward. Like, that's not the case. I wouldn't accept that as a fan. I don't think many fans would either. So I'm hoping Chevy's able to do something, but if he's not able to, the expectations for the Jets next year has just increased tenfold, and Chevy is going to be on the chopping block by the fans and hopefully by the ownership group too. So,
What do you want to see done, Phil? What do you want to see? I think we're all in agreement that left-handed D, but is that the number one thing you're looking for?
Absolutely. I mean, like you were saying earlier, you know, you can make a transaction for top six. To me, that's just making a move for the sake of making a move. He has the pieces to fill the needs on the roster. It's that second pair left D. If he can't figure that out, then the Jets have a huge issue, because Toby isn't going to be here after next year. And if Toby somehow gets injured this year, I mean, you know, it's going to be another nightmare, I think. And Toby isn't even really that good, for my opinion. I think him and Myers in the third pair is outstanding. But if you're starting to have to slide him up to the second pair and making all sorts of moves when and if injuries happen and all that kind of thing, I think the Jets are in trouble, just like it was last year. And that's the job of a GM. You draft, you develop, you sign players, you trade for players. That's just one of the responsibilities of a GM. And thus far, I haven't seen anything to suggest that Chevy is a capable GM of doing that. So I'll leave it with that, and happy Monday, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Phil. We appreciate
the
call.
Take care,
man. What are you guys' thoughts on that? And this is one thing that I heard over the weekend from some other journalists I know that are in different markets is, a lot of other teams and cities don't look at the Jets prospect as highly as Jets fans do and Jets people, i.e. Patan, Dano, Roslovic. Like it was a couple guys pointed out to me when I was texting with them that they said that like other GMs aren't down on them. It's just that we're not going to give you a roster player for somebody who may or may not develop.
Well, obviously that's the case, and I don't know that it's the Jets fans putting the prospects in a certain light, or if it's most every publication that declares the Jets have the hottest young prospects, or in the top five, the hottest young prospects. So I don't know, they got a bunch of young players that are coming along pretty well. To me, when he said, well, there's nowhere that he can see a fit here anytime soon for a Vesalainen, how about third line center in the situation where Lowry bumps down to the fourth line, sort of thing? Like there's a possibility of that going forward. But hey, more or less, Phil was just echoing a lot of the concerns that we had, that nothing's been done up to this point in time specifically for a top four or even just a left side D in a depth sense. And that, yeah, it's. You were indicating, JT, earlier, hey, there's plenty of time left. It's not yet time to panic. But Wicks was more along the lines of there's all kinds of deals that have been done, and we would have liked to have seen something already. I'm going to go and join like the thought process more closer to Wicks here, where it looked pretty juicy, like something might happen. They said they tried to get something done, and it didn't quite work out. Well, they have got to get something done this year, you would think. So let's hope Phil's kind of getting ready to panic. I think a lot of Jets fans, will, as each week for sure, maybe even day goes by, that's going to happen more and more, more quickly, especially when on after July 1st, right?
Yeah, and look, Chevy got, I thought at least, showed some creativity at the expansion draft. You know, finding a way to not lose a roster player. You don't end up losing a pick necessarily. You just move a bit further down to the draft. So, I mean, like, if he's able to do that, he should be able to find a defenseman out there. No trade clause or not. Like, it's not like every single defenseman in the NHL has a no-trade clause. Like, you should be able to find a way to work it out. And, like, trying doesn't mean anything anymore. Like, if great if you tried, but if you didn't do it, then it means jack squat. They have to find a way to improve their back end. And you start to get a little bit antsy. It was kind of like the Ladd situation a few years ago, right, where it got closer and closer and closer. And, you know, eventually time just kind of runs out. And that's where the Jets are almost at right now.
Yeah, I give him the summer. Like, I know Phil just said that, you know, free agency on Saturday and then maybe a week after. I don't even think that's the necessarily deadline. But I give him the summer. I mean, if we're talking September and there needs to be some stuff done, then I'll be very interested and curious on what's going on here. The guy I keep looking at, gentlemen, for top left D is Nola Hanifin. And if he's, you know, apparently being shopped by Carolina, as most of the insiders have said they are, then that's a guy I look at. That's a guy I look at that if you're going to have to pay, but I'll go back to my idea 3 or 4 months ago that if you're going to re-sign Brian Little and you have Morrissey and Trouba coming up, you've got to give something up in order to make this happen. If you look at the Hamonic deal, you have to overpay. And I think to overpay, when people ask me what that means, to me it's a Matthew Perreault. To me, it's a high-end prospect like Rossovic or Patan. I would not deal Kyle Connor, but he's another high-end prospect that you might have to deal, and maybe a pick to get a guy like that.
Well, not maybe. There's no way you're getting that for Perreault and a Rossovic, for instance. There's just zero chance of that.
You're not getting Hanifin for that?
No way. I don't think so. No chance.
Well, why not?
Because it's for Perreault and a guy who's in the A not averaging a point a game. No way. You're going to give one of your hotshot left D top pairing guys?
Like, would you accept that for Trouba?
Hell no.
Like, that's kind of that's basically Carolina's Trouba right there. Like, it would have to be – it might very well cost you Nikolai Ehlers for that trade. I don't know if Hanifin's the best.
Well, apparently
target.
That's what Colorado wants for Duchesne, is Hanifin and something else.
Well, that's why Matt Duchesne hasn't been traded
or
yet.
Vice versa. Like, they want – they'll give you Hanifin for Duchesne, but they want something else. Like, that seems to be what's holding up that idea.
Hoping for Hanifin for the Jets for a top four left side D guy, to me, that's bold. That's pie in the sky kind of stuff. That ain't going to happen.
Thanks for the call, Phil. We appreciate the call. Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Brian, you are next on the Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Go ahead.
Hi, boys. How's she going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Dog's happy. I'm happy. I'm unhappy with our goaltending. What would it take to get Marc-Andre Fleury here? Throw in Hellebuck, and who else would it take?
Well, I don't think that's happening because everything I've read and from what I understand that Marc-Andre Fleury is more than happy to be in Vegas. He has a no-move clause once again, and he's not going to exercise it. He's accepted his spot in Vegas, and so you have to go to him. And from what I understand, he's not willing to move it again. He's happy in Vegas and wants to stay there.
Yeah, that dream is dead. Yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury is the face of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, or the Vegas Golden Knights. Came out in a jersey, all the rest of it. There's zero chance of him leaving.
What do we do to get it? Top end goalie. We have a top end team and we have a below average goalie.
Well, see, this is the thing. Like, I try to think of what the Jets are thinking because Well, that's just what I think they're going to do. I don't think they're looking for a number one goalie. I think they're looking for a veteran backup. I took this question on Twitter a lot over the weekend over Antti Raanta. We talked about it when Scott Darling went from Chicago to Carolina. They believe that Connor Hellebuck is their goalie of the future. So when you're tasking me, like, what does it take to make a trade to bring in a Ben Bishop or a high-end goalie, like, I don't know, name your starting goaltender in the National Hockey League, I don't think that's what they're looking for.
I'm just disappointed that we have a high-end team and a below-average goalie, and I hope Chevy does something about it.
Yeah, yeah, and you would like him to maybe give up on Hellebuck and make a trade and bring in a veteran, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, someone who's proven, like, nothing personal about Hellebuck, but he just hasn't caught the mustard yet.
Well, what if it was a Brian Elliott, for instance, to back him up and be a strong compliment in that manner?
Bang on.
Okay, well, you're going to be happy fairly soon then, because I have no doubt they're going to land someone along the lines of a Brian Elliott, Steve, like somebody that, you know, that's going to be a veteran and will have a decent resume. That's going to happen, man.
If you guys have that info, then my dog and I are still both very happy.
It's good to hear.
What's the dog's name?
Latte. She's a rescue mutt from Nunavut.
Latte. All right.
That's a cool name.
Enjoy you and your latte this morning, Brian.
Cute.
It's bad, I know. I'm sorry. I'm trying to make...
You ain't
I feel
right,
like Ron
man.
McLean
you messed up
to,
over there.
Hey, as my friend Roger, who has a friend in Nashville, used to say, you ain't all right, but you're all right, if that makes sense. Boss Pizza Fan Line, who's next?
Thanks, we'll get Brian. To Ray quickly.
Ray, you're on the big show. Go ahead. Oh, Ray just let us go.
It's because your latte joke. Yeah, Ray's like, I'm out of here.
I don't blame
there.
You, Ray.
Nothing to do with
please
that.
Please, I won't do bad puns anymore. Call back. 780-1290 on the Big Show. More of your calls next on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on the Boss Pizza Fan Line on the Big Show, TSN 1290, 780-1290. Ray, we got you back. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, listen, boys, happening in Edmonton and Calgary.
Oh, Ray, you're cutting out. Can you try again?
I think Chevy should do something really quick if he wanted to compete. We know Hannafin's available, but whether it's Perreault and Roslovic and a first-round pick or... I'd be doing whatever it takes to get him over here because if we want to compete in the West, I think something has to be done really quick.
Good stuff, Ray. We appreciate the call. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for calling back in.
I think it's a great point you bring up, man. And I was talking about this to start last year, but the Battle of Alberta is back, obviously, in spades. A bit of an arms race there. And then obviously, the Jets are going to have to overcome whoever wins that battle at some point in time. And you'd have to lean towards the Edmonton Oilers having the upper hand there. And again, the Edmonton Oilers have the best player on the planet, a la Jets 1.0. And it sure isn't hard to connect the dots here and see a situation play out very similarly as it did however many years ago that was now, a number of decades ago, where the Jets just couldn't quite get over the mountain of Edmonton behind Gretzky, now McDavid. Like, isn't it setting up again? Like, we're going to have these remarkable clashes against the Oilers in the very near future with the Flames a part of it as well. It's kind of ominous, really.
If that's the case, and you're a Flames fan or a Jets fan, and even some Oilers fans, then Chris Russell is a Steve Smith come playoff.
Well, and let's hope.
Might be.
Let's hope the hometown boy Hamidick doesn't turn into Jamie McCowan too in the playoffs. One yes. of these runs and gives Lydie a shot to the ribs.
I like the Russell brothers and their dad. I know him from junior hockey, but that's how it would set up if you're looking for a Steve Smith. Rick Ralph just tweeted out, our very own Rick Ralph from TSN 1290. I'm told UFA goaltender Brian Elliott has been making tentative accommodation plans for Winnipeg. He's on the Jets' radar. That's from Rick Ralph. More from him, of course, on that, I would presume, on the Don Vito Roundtable at 11 a.m. Back to the Boss Pizza Fan Line. What does tentative accommodations
mean? Well, that's
mean?
That's to be taken pretty serious. If somebody's making tentative arrangement plans to live somewhere.
That has to be the house.
That's some pretty hardcore news.
Millionaire athletes don't look to rent like I do.
I don't think he's going into the real estate market in Winnipeg.
That's pretty
just
juicy
to
there by Double R.
That's a hell of a scoop.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what somebody said to me once when I had a scoop. I go, every once in a while, every dog has his day. Rick Ralph with that tweet there. Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Mike, you're on the program. Go ahead. Hi, Mike.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I don't even want to talk about Edmonton because last time I checked, the Jets have to make the playoffs first, and I'm not confident that they're much more than a 9th or a 10th team, and I'm really waiting for something to be changed to change my opinion.
Okay.
Goaltending. What's your take on do we need a rehaul over Hellebuyck or do we just need a backup?
How can anyone be of the mindset that after a rookie season for a guy who finishes with a 9.07, which is far from disastrous, how can anyone be of the mindset that we need to cut bait and move on?
I'd like to make the playoffs and explain to me in the West how the Jets are going to surpass any of the teams to get into the top three. So let's say Chicago, let's say the Preds, Minnesota, St. Louis, Dallas, I'm at a loss as to how we're going to put the Jets into the top three, so we're now into the perpetual wild card, and I'm at a loss as to seeing, unless there's a huge improvement in Hellebuyck, how they're going to make it.
And the thing is, though, like we talked about it last year, where it's not a huge improvement that needs to happen. Like he saves 8 more goals. If he makes 8 saves on 8 of the shots he faced, then he's got about a .915 save percentage. So it's not remarkable improvement that needs to happen. He gets to real respectable in a hurry with just slight improvement. That's all we need to see from his rookie season.
And improvement from whatever the backup. Like the two goalies, right? Like if the Jets team save percentage is .915 next year, they will be a playoff team. It's that simple. So you're hoping for internal development from Hellebuyck, and then you're hoping if it is Brian Elliott that he gives you a lot more than Hutch gave you. And that should be enough combined together.
And, you know, boys, ultimately, I think that there's more to call on from the Winnipeg Jets in an overall sense defensively in front of the blue paint than there is to call on from the blue paint upcoming this season.
Mike, I want to get all your thoughts in here before we take a break because we got to go. So, okay, we got to go. Sorry, Mike, we appreciate it. We'll delve into more of that, more of your calls as well when we come back. We have to take a break, but we'll get to it on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on The Big Show, TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. Breaking news in the CFL. The Montreal Alouettes have added quarterback Drew Willey to their roster. So Drew Willey, the former Blue Bomber quarterback, traded to Toronto last year, cut during training camp this year, lands on the roster in Montreal.
Wish him the best. Hope he can get to something close to what he was when he first arrived in Winnipeg.
We're going to hear from Mark Scheifele shortly here, but TSN 1290 is proud to be a media sponsor of the 2017 Canada Summer Games from July 28th to August 13th. All eyes will be on Winnipeg as thousands of athletes from across Canada come to compete in 16 sports and over 250 events. It is the 50th anniversary of the Canada Summer Games, and it'll welcome over 20,000 visitors. And remember, every Friday until July 21st, you can help paint the town red, yellow, and orange. Wear your official 2017 Canada Summer Games clothing. Take a picture of yourself and share the photo using the handle at 2017 Canada Games and the hashtag gear up for a chance to win a Via Rail promotional travel credit. Visit canadagames.ca/2017 for more information about Games Gear Fridays. And for tickets to both the opening and closing ceremonies, you can go to ticketmaster.ca. And for more information on all of that, of course, tsn1290.ca. We're just waiting for Mark Scheifele to give us a call. This is very busy today at his Kidsport Golf Tournament. We'll go to the Boss Pizza fan line until we hear from Mr. Scheifele. Kerry, you're on The Big Show. Go ahead.
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, listen, I'm getting tired of hearing people, Chevy has to do this, Chevy has to do that. We give up on guys. Hellebuck, we got to get rid of him. If we had said, you know, everyone when we drafted Scheifele is like, Mark who? Well, look what he's turned into. Everyone said when Josh Morrissey didn't make the team as a rookie, well, what happened there? Well, now look, I have so much confidence in this organization to be doing the right thing. Hellebuck was a rookie. He should have played in the AHL last year. Let's get past that. He played in the NHL. And for 907 or 905, Troy, you're right. I'm not giving up on that. I would not give up on that. You bring in Elliott, that's great, that's fine. Rick Ralph is saying he's looking for something here. Maybe it's to visit the zoo, but I doubt that is why he's looking. I have confidence in this organization. And to the caller who said, well, let's talk about playoffs, I'll put our top six against top six, anybody in the Central. Our third and fourth lines are starting to get depth with Joel Armia and Adam Lowry chipping in on goals. You've got Kyle Connor who, you know, was not ready, was just a boy last year. And as you know, he went down season. I think he's going to have a heck of a year. I think everything is looking up. Everybody's down on Enstrom. When him and Myers were healthy 2 years ago, that pairing I would have put up as our number one pairing. I have no problem with Enstrom playing with Myers whatsoever. If they play a year together, I have no problem with them. You could put anybody with Bufflin, I could care less. You got Morrissey, Trouba, Enstrom and Myers, and Bufflin with whoever, and I like that six. I'm going to like it all year long. If they're healthy, no problem. But every team can say that they need depth. We have depth now. You know, Nogier stepped in last year, did an admirable job. We were playing with like four or five AHL starters last year, and our goalie still had a 905 save. Come on, guys. Why is everybody bailing on this team? And Troy, for the football, I watched all weekend. I guarantee you that Medlock wins us three games just because we have him, and I think we're a 13-5 team this year.
Great stuff, Kerry. We appreciate the call. Yeah, I think the drafting's there. There's a lot of people commenting on the development. I think the development there as well. It's a result-based business, and people are growing impatient, and I get that. And I guess that's a discussion. If you're on the right track, what are you going to do to augment it, and where does it go? There's not a lot of middle ground with Jets fans right now.
No, and there hasn't been for a while here. But I side with Kerry there completely. Just the situation, let's see how it unfolds. There's a couple of key spots that were identified coming into the season, and we're going to get the goaltender, you would think, soon after July 1st, and we'll see what happens on the left side.
We appreciate the call, Kerry. Darren and Jeff, hang on the Boss Pizza fan line. We're going to get to you next. Of course, lots to talk about, but we're very happy to welcome back into the program from your Winnipeg Jets, Mr. Mark Scheifele. Mark, how are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you. Pretty busy with your kids' sports over the weekend and your golf tournament today, but it's something you seem to be enjoying. Tell us how it's gone so far over the weekend.
Yeah, it's gone really good. You know, I always enjoy coming in for this weekend. It's definitely always marked on my calendar. It's fun to, you know, always see the guys that you haven't seen since the end of the year, and also obviously to, you know, give back to the community is big for me.
Hey, how cute were the kids this weekend, Mark? And specifically, I saw you tweeted out a picture of a kid who asked for his, instead of birthday presents, he wanted money to donate, and also I think money from a lemonade stand or something like that. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's unbelievable what you know, to see someone of that age do that. It's you know, it just shows, you know, there's hope for us after all. but yeah, it's awesome. You know, seeing the kids smiling, seeing how much fun they're having.
His name was Logan, right?
Yeah, his name was Logan. It's special. It's an awesome thing to be a part of, and I definitely enjoy every second of it.
I thought you were going to say, kid, hit him up for just straight-up cash. Can you find a few shekels?
Oh, yeah, lemonade sales and ask for donations instead of gifts for his birthday. And,
that's outstanding.
And $300 to Kids Sport. It's pretty cool.
That's great stuff. Mark, you got your golf tournament today. Tell us about it and who's coming in for it.
So it's at Niagara. It's gone unbelievable the last 2 years. New this year, we have Morrissey, Roslovic, Connor, Nogier, Quentin Howden, LaPon. trying to think who else. Sorry, it's been a long weekend.
Oh, that's okay, buddy.
But we got a a good crew of guys. It's Owen Hutchie as well. It's been a lot of fun. So everyone's really enjoying it, and all the guys are definitely excited for the golf tournament today. So hopefully it's a good day. We got the weather, so I'm sure everyone's really excited.
Yeah, I think you got the only sunny day here for like a squeezed in between 10 dog kind of days. Mark, hey, we were talking a little bit about your commitment to training, and maybe you get sick talking about it so much, man, but it's such an interesting aspect of what you bring to the table. Can you just maybe share something here? Like, do you have anything special today, for instance? We were talking about how, Ben, your friend, was saying how you have to bring food when you go out with your buddies. You have to bring your own food and stuff like that. On a day like today and a weekend like this, when you're so tied up, are you able to stay committed to the diet still and you're still carrying food around with you?
I wasn't able to carry around food for the whole weekend. That would definitely be tough. But I definitely know the areas in the city to to get some healthy food. I know, we had Freshie bring in food, the last 2 days for lunch. I've lived here long enough to know the healthy spots that I like to go to. So, I haven't been totally regimented like I usually am, just because it's a tough weekend. You're at the rink a long time, so it's tough to have everything that you need. But I definitely try my hardest to stay as regimented as I can.
Mark, I know you're very busy with your good work with Kidsport and your on-ice sessions and, of course, your golf tournament today. But how closely, as I know you're a hockey fan, so how closely did you watch the draft, what the Jets did, and how closely will you be watching free agency day this Saturday?
Yeah, I was definitely watching. It's tough now that I'm 6 years older than the kids that were getting drafted, so I don't know too many kids in the draft, but it's always cool to see what players, we get. And obviously I'll be watching free agency, pretty closely.
Mark, it's great of you to join us today. I know it's been a busy weekend for you, but Kidsport's such a great event to help promote and do some work with. So congratulations on that and all the best with your golf tournament today. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. It's an honor to be a part of Kidsport and to be able to help out as many kids as we do. And it really is my pleasure to be a part of this, and I definitely do look forward to it every year.
Thanks so much, Mark. Take care. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Mark Scheifele of your Winnipeg Jets. Niagara is where his golf tournament is today, and of course, we mentioned it last week, but that is where sort of Winnipeggers got their first live view of Mr. Patrick Laine last year, showed up and was at a hole with Mark Scheifele.
Yeah, it's a great event. The whole weekend is awesome, and hey, big shout out to everybody involved with Kidsport, including Michael Witowski and Christine Honish. They do all the volunteers involved. They are running the gamut, just the same type of crazy hours as Scheif's over this weekend, and just all the very best to everybody involved. Have a bunch of fun today.
Big fan of Kidsport, and you can follow them on Twitter or check out their website as well. Darren Dreger, Justin Williams will chat with Caps management this week to see if they're still a fit. 50-50 is back with Washington. Speaking of the Capitals, Carl Alsner is drawing a crowd. Several calls from teams with interest. He will visit with some of them this week. That's from TSN's Darren Dreger. Back to the Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290. If you want to weigh in with us on the Big Show, TSN 1290. Darren, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you? Thanks for waiting.
I think Jets fans need a bit of a reality check on this team. I think it's extremely clear that the management and the coaching staff like the team the way it is now. I mean, they worked hard to keep Enstrom, even Dano, which was a surprise. They like this team. They honestly believe that this team is going to improve with just what we have. I think they like what they saw down the stretch. I think they realize we never had Trouba and Myers on the ice together last year. So I think adding a goalie, other than that, I hope they make a few changes, but I don't know what they're going to make. The left-hand D thing, I think, is being blown way out of proportion. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I want to say the Jets already have we're probably in the top five highest paid defensive units right now, if you broke down the salary. So pouring a ton more money on there, I don't know if that makes a lot of sense. Plus, I mean, our top five spots on D are locked up. So that still leaves three guys under contract, or three guys that are probably competing for that. Now, let's all hope and pray Stewart finishes his career on the Moose. But that leaves Sherratt, and I'm going to include Tucker Poolman. He's not a kid. He's 23 years old.
Melchiori, too.
and Melchiori. I think they don't. I don't even think they hated what they saw from Nogier down the stretch. I'm excited to see what Sami Niku is going to look like. So there's some guys for that final spot. So when you're adding a guy, what are you adding? You're adding a guy for how much money and for what? You're guaranteeing him that final spot. So that means that Sherratt is what, your seventh D. Pullman is absolutely starting on the Moose. Now that's fine and all. You know there's going to be injuries, but I don't think they're panicking as much as the Jets fans are panicking.
As much as I would love to see them add a top four left side so that you could have a third with everyone healthy, your third pairing would be Trouba and Myers. I do tend to agree with you that I think they're much more comfortable with the situation maybe than us as Jets fans.
Well, and Pullman, I want to be cautious with because, I know miraculous things are done now, but two shoulder surgeries is a lot to take in one off season. And Eric Fair had that done, and it took him a good two seasons to sort of come around. And as a defenseman, not saying that it's not going to work and you don't expect to see him healthy this year, but it's just, it's always cautious when you're having that kind of major surgery done twice in the off season.
I think it's the best thing in the world for Tucker Pullman to play the whole year with the AHL. Assuming he doesn't come into camp and just blows everyone away, but take it easy with him, right? Like that... Those are serious injuries that he suffered there, and to expect him without much training done in the off season to all of a sudden come in and touch a puck for the first time in training camp, and he's either the sixth or seventh defenseman on the team. Like they need to just be super, super cautious with him.
It's interesting you bring that up, Darren, with the depth they have there and what they feel of it. It seems to me though, Sheveldayoff is sort of augmenting the position. As a good GM should, you're going to try to do something in free agency or a trade, but you're also going to solidify it around it. He seems to be putting some pieces around that if something doesn't get done.
The point I'll make is, I know you were mentioning Hanifin early. Like, seriously, I think the cost of Hanifin is going to be Blake Wheeler or Nick Ehlers. There are probably only three teams in the NHL, Vegas, Vancouver, Colorado, that are really looking at rebuilding. Every other team wants to win now. And trades of, like even Hamonic for picks, those don't happen very often. It's player for player and roster player for roster player that's going to improve your team. So I think one of the biggest things you're going to see from the Jets is if Kyle Connor can come out and have a good year, like if he can have a solid year, then that makes one of Kyle Connor or Nick Ehlers expendable to make that big blockbuster trade. Other than that, I don't know. Rozovic's not going to get a lot of attention, like you guys were touching upon earlier.
Yeah, that was pointed out to me, Darren. And I could be underselling, what I think Hanifin could get, and I believe it's overpaid. But that was pointed out to me over the weekend from a couple other buddies in the business outside of the town that's saying the idea of thinking Patan or Rozovic or even Kyle Connor are going to solidify a deal when they haven't proven much. Other than being very good prospects, is sort of banking on a lot that doesn't seem to be getting it done in today's NHL.
I wouldn't trade Nikolai Ehlers for anything or anyone. I'm serious. He is the straw that stirs the drink out there, boys.
Darren, we appreciate the call and the insight. We'll get to you, Jeff, next on the Boss Pizza Fan Line when we come back to the Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on the Big Show, TSN 1290, Jim Tolt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki on Twitter, at Jim Tolt Sports, at Troy Westwood, and at Brandon_Ruwicki. And the Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Ray, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm a Toronto Maple Leaf fan since 1967, but I switched to the Jets when they first came to town, then I had to go back when they left, and I can't come back again, sorry.
Fair enough.
I just got a comment on that Logan Stanley. I watched him in the Memorial Cup, and he kind of reminds me a little bit of a young Tyler Myers at his level of play he was playing in that Memorial Cup. What do you guys think? Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. I've only seen Logan. I saw him play. I forget where I saw him play, but I also saw him in the Memorial Cup. and only one other regular season game. I saw him at development camp. I saw him here at a Jets game when he got his surgery. He's a big kid. So that's the extent of it. I did talk to Ryan McGill, who coaches Owen Sound, I believe, in the OHL. He says, well, I've only seen him two or four times because they don't play him that often. But he thinks to be patient with this guy, that he got miles better this year from what he was at last year. And he thinks that the ceiling is quite high for this kid.
I've only seen him play one game in that Memorial Cup. And I don't, I'm not, you know, Tyler Myers is a pretty good skater. I don't know that he's anywhere near that so far. But certainly I do recall when they drafted him that it wasn't a 1 or 2 year sort of thing and this guy's going to be ready to go. It was a 3, 4, 5 years kind of thing and this guy's going to be ready to go. So I can only surmise that there's a whole bunch of development that still needs to happen.
But the good thing for Stanley is he's not a poor skater, and it's not a lack of, like, he skates pretty well. Mm-hmm. Like, he moves good for a guy of his size. That's not the issue. It's going to be, can he move the puck? Can he, you know, are his puck skills good enough at the next level? And maybe more importantly, when he's under pressure, under the forecheck,
the brain skills.
How quick is that brain firing at? And how quickly will he be able to operate there? If he's able to do that, hey, I mean, hey, if they get a Tyler Myers out of Logan Stanley, no one's complaining about that draft.
Yeah, and again, like I said, I just talked to one or two coaches that have coached against him, and they just made the comment of, you know, it's hard to say how good he's going to be or where he's going to be after that knee surgery. Played well in the Memorial Cup, but the point that was pointed out to me is he came a long way from his level of play last year to this year. He improved a lot until that injury around Christmas time.
People will be raving about the pick if he matures into something along the lines of Tyler Myers, because there was some criticism or some skepticism about the pick.
More so the trading
some
up to
criticism.
Get him, right? Like the movie, the moving up to get him. But you're right. Like, this is, I mean, if you look at the Flyers drafting Sam Moran, another 6'7" type of defenseman, he's turning 22 in July, and he just got a sniff of the NHL this year, and he was drafted in 2013.
Yeah.
So that's basically the development path you're looking at for Logan Stanley, where 3 years from now, you maybe give him a couple games at the end of his first pro season, and then you kind of hope that he becomes an NHL regular, 4 or 5 years from now.
It's going to be interesting at training camp what they do with him. I'm just looking at, he's 19, so I think he's got another year of junior, doesn't he? Or is that it? Is he in the A next year?
Yes, another year of junior.
Yeah, he's eligible for another year of junior at 19 years old. And then, of course, it'll be interesting come training camp if that's the route they take or if they get him in the American Hockey League or what they do with Logan Stanley. Thanks for the call, Ray. Thanks for all the calls today in the Boss Pizza fan line. As always, all opinions welcome, anything and everything. TSN 1290 and Robertson College present the return of the 10K Summer Selfie. We have $10,000 in cash and prizes to award select selfie takers across Manitoba, and you could be one of those recipients. To enter, take a really good selfie at some point during the summer and post it before Thursday, August 31st to Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram using the hashtag 10K Summer Selfie. Show us an amazing photo or take a theme selfie in one of five of these bonus categories. First of all, the $5,000 selfie is for Selfie of the Summer presented by Robertson College. Then Best Animal Selfie presented by Assiniboia Park Zoo will get you $1,000, as could Best Food and Drink Selfie presented by Booster Juice. Best Hair Selfie presented by Aura Hair Group. Best Outdoor Selfie presented by Lacoste Garden Center. And Best Smile Selfie presented by Toddlers to Teens. For more information, visit TSN1290.ca. Rick Ralph is up next at 11 a.m. with your Don Vito Roundtable. Again, he has tweeted out during our show today, I'm told UFA goaltender Brian Elliott has been making tentative accommodation plans for Winnipeg. He's on the Winnipeg Jets radar. Rick will be up at the Don Vito Roundtable at 11. Huss will have the Gondola Pizza warm-up at 2, and then the afternoon ride at 3. We'll be back tomorrow morning, as this will be a very interesting week going forward. And, of course, the Bombers will hit the practice field this week, too, as they prepare for their season opener in Regina on Saturday. On behalf of Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, and myself, Jim Toth, we thank you for listening, and the Big Show will be back tomorrow morning at 6 on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki, weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.